When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Oh, yeah. The Best Show, back again on another Tuesday night. My name is Tom Sharpling. I'm the host of the program, and we have an exciting show for you this evening. We've got the one and only Gabe Delahaye is going to be in studio later in the program. We've got the topic is unpopular opinions. We'll get into that. Holy moly, will we get into that? And then tonight, the debut of the Dreyfus 100. What is the Dreyfus 100? You will find out shortly what it is. You get ready. You be diligent. But understand this. Now it's stand-up talk. You know I'm a stand-up comic, right, guys? I love getting up there, doing my thing. Holding the microphone. I'm a part of the Brick Wall Brotherhood. So we're going to talk all about stand-up comedy tonight. If you're a stand-up, the phone number, 201-332-3484. Let's get this stand-up talk going. Aw, man, guys. You know what bums me out? The check drop. You ever get the check drop? You're up there, you're doing your thing, you're starting to kill. And next thing you know, the staff is going around dropping the checks on the tables, interrupting the whole flow of everything. Oh. All right. Not sure why that happened. This bed music started playing again. That's what the check drop is like. That's what it's like. Yeah, there we go. That's the music. Because it's time to talk stand-up comedy. So you're up there in front of the brick wall doing your stuff. I'm doing my 45. Starting to get into my whole routine about how kids suck. Right? Kids suck. So I'm talking about how kids suck. Now they're doing the check drop. Got this. The staff is hustling all around. They're interrupting the flow of my comedy. And where did this happen to me? Well, it happened at Magoobies. I was at Magoobies. And other places I will be, I should say. I'll be at the Funny Bone in Omaha, Nebraska on September 14th, 15th, and 16th. And then you can catch me at the Treehouse at Bobby V's down... that's in Windsor Locks, Connecticut. I'll be there October 1st, 2nd, 3rd, 4th, and 6th. Not doing the 5th. That's Ari Spears has a special show that night. Couldn't get him to move the dates around. And just Magoobies is in Maryland. It's in Timonium, Maryland. I want to hear you stand-ups talk all about what's your favorite rooms to play. Do you like playing the House of Comedy in Phoenix? Where else do you like playing? I like playing... my favorite place to play is probably, at this point, Uncle Vinny's in Point Pleasant. When I will be there November 25th, 26th, and 27th, my... annual Thanksgiving point shows down in Point Pleasant. So what else happened to me in my stand-up? Oh, the check drop drive me nuts. You know what else? A bachelorette party. Oh, no. I'm up there doing my thing. And look, it's bad enough I got stuck. I'm staying at the comedy condo with every other slob comedian there. Stuck at the comedy condo, and they're all being comedy, preverts the way they are. I should mention also, I'll be at the Comedy Works in Saratoga Springs December 22nd, 23rd, 24th, and 25th. My special Christmas Day show. Three shows on Christmas Day. 4, 7, and 10. And I will be returning to Magoobies in February. Should make mention of that. I'll be at Magoobies on February 15th, 16th, 17th, 18th, 19th, 20th, 21st, 22nd, 23rd, 24th, 25th, 26th, 27th, and March 1st. Again, Ari Spears has the 28th booked. Could not get him to move that date. Oh, so I'm up there doing my thing. Again, I'm doing my thing about how, I'm doing my thing about how women just suck, right? How annoying they are. And then this bachelorette party walks in and they're being so loud. Oh, driving me nuts. I went back to the comedy condo and I just was moaning to the other guys all about it. But they were too busy. They had prostitutes with them. So they weren't exactly paying attention to me. And I was trying to workshop some of my stuff about how about how flying sucks. Oh. And speaking of flying, I will be flying to, strangely enough, I'm going to be flying to Caroline's. I'm going to be emceeing at Caroline's. I fly there from Newark to JFK. It's a $3 flight. I'll be at Caroline's, I'll be emceeing for the Wackadoos of Comedy tour, which is April 1st, 2nd, 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th, 13th, 14th, 15th, 16th, 17th, 18th, 19th, 21st, 22nd, 23rd, 24th, 25th, 26th, 27th, 28th, 29th, and 30th. Again, April 20th, 420, Ari Spears is doing a special, he's doing a special show with Doug Benson at Caroline's, so I will not be, at that. But this check drop, let's talk about it. The phones, 201-332-3484. I want to talk to comedians, the check drop. Right? I can't take it anymore. Stand up. How are we going to do it, right? Where are we going with this? And who are the heroes? Stand up. Who are the heroes? Let's talk about the heroes. Of course, Pryor. Carlin. That's pretty much it. Pryor and Carlin. Those are my heroes. And I should mention, just got a tour date, just came in. Very exciting. I will be at the House of Comedy in Phoenix, Arizona on, this is a date, this is 2019. I'll be there January 1st, 2nd, 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th, 13th, 14th, 15th, 16th, 17th, 18th, 19th, 20th, 21st, 22nd, 23rd, 24th, 25th, 26th, 27th, 28th, 29th, 30th, February 1st, 2nd, 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th, 13th, 14th, 15th, 16th, 17th, 18th, 19th, 20th, 21, 22, 23, 24, 26, 27, 28. March 1st, 2nd, 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th, 13th, 14th, 15th, 16th, 17th, 18th, 19th, 20th, 21st, 22nd, 23rd, 24th, 25th, 26th, 27th, 28th, 29th, 30th. And again, that date, February 21st, is Ari Spears has that locked up. Check me out at the Hard Rock in Sioux City, Iowa. I'll be doing my thing. And yeah, we'll just be up there doing it, man. I'm working on my my special. It's for Netflix. It's my stand-up special. It's called You Suck, I Don't. So, but seriously, let's get some calls about the check drop, 201-332-3484, or bachelor parties, or the comedy condo, all the things that the people don't know that this stuff goes on. That's the whole thing. The regular people don't know that this is what we have going on in the world of comedy. They don't get an insight into it. So let's spread the word. Who's good here, Mike? Welcome to the stand-up comedy show. What's up?
Hey, how's it going, Tom?
Who's this?
This is Will in Knoxville.
You doing stand-up, bro?
Oh, man, you know it.
Do you have any dates you want to announce?
I don't know. I'd stay away from it at the moment.
All right, you're staying away. What about the check drop? What do you think about the check drop?
I think the check drop would be amazing if I ever got to that point. It's just standing around waiting to see if I'm going to get called up.
You're an open micer. You're an open micer. It's guys like you that
to the check drop.
It's guys like you that bring down the business. Another open micer.
It's terrible. I should stop it.
Get off my stage. The best show. No! It would have worked out perfectly! Why would you do this? Ugh! Okay, fine. Watch this. Okay, hold on. Let me do a little bit of my act. So anyway, I'm at the airport. Stuck going through TSA. And what's the deal with these people, right? You know what I always do? I always go through. I pour olive oil over myself before I go through. And then I'm doing the pat down. And then they got olive oil all over their hands. And then they're like, why don't you go through first, sir? Best show. Show back again Tuesday night. My name's Tom Sharpling. I'm here with you for another good stretch. We're having a good old time. Mike's here. Studio's here. Pat's here. The whole crew. Bad News Bears. And I'm putting myself in with that. I'm one of the Bad News Bears, too. Except I'm the one that could play. That's too harsh. I'm sorry, guys. Look, this is what I'll say. First thing, Dudio. God love him. I mentioned the idea of doing a Slaw Dog shirt. Because Mike has his Masses shirts, and are you listening, Mike? I'm talking about your Masses shirts. If I don't do it, get nothing but grief. Mike has these shirts for the Masses Tavern, which is the bar he works at on weekends. He's there slinging brews, right? He's there. He's quick with a joke or a light of your smoke. But there's nowhere that he'd rather be. And if you want one of these shirts, you go to apmike.bandcamp.com and you check them out. They're really nice, well-made shirts. So anyway, Dudio, I throw out the idea of the Slaw Dog. We'll do a Slaw Dog shirt, too. He presents this thing to me, the mock-up of a shirt. Peter Max didn't use as many colors as this thing had in it. Like, what, did a paint store explode? And he's like, maybe this could be the shirt. It's like, what is that, a 48-color job? I was thinking of just buying some white t-shirts and throwing some magic markers at them. Here you go. Make your Slaw Dog shirts, dude. No, we'll do it right. But tell your dude to simplify the color scheme on that, Dudio. And speaking of Dudio, this date track, right? Bridge and Tunnel, which is the sketch troupe that he is a part of, him and Kristen and all the other members of Bridge and Tunnel, who are super funny, legitimately funny. I think it's a very talented group of people. They're doing a show. Hot Takes. Bridge and Tunnel presents Hot Takes. Thursday, July 28th at 6:15 p.m. at the UCB Theater in Chelsea. So people of New York, go check it out. See Bridge and Tunnel live Thursday, July 28th at the UCB Theater in Chelsea. See, Mike's got his shirts. What did we just hear? Oh, my goodness. We just heard something from the new Klaus Johann Grobe album, which is called Spaghet der Liebe. I don't know what I just said. Did I just say something bad? I hope not. And the name of that song was Ein guter Tag. So good. All these Klaus Johann Grobe records are great. This new one is no different. And like those records, this is on Trouble in Mind also. TroubleInMindRex.com. Great label. Later in the show, we'll have Gabe Delahaye is going to sit and talk with us. And the topic tonight, unpopular opinions. What are the unpopular opinions? Oh, my goodness. Can you imagine the unpopular opinions that my audience is going to have? There's that. There's also the Dreyfus 100. Now you ask yourself, what on earth could be the Dreyfus 100. Well, the Dreyfus 100 is basically, in a nutshell, and also, this mic, hands up on jury duty. He's on jury duty now. And then he's just, everything he's saying is just, first of all, he walks in wearing his juror badge. Like, take it off. What, you think it's cool? And look, it is cool to be a part of the legal system and to be on a jury. That's cool, as any judge will say when he's trying to sucker people in. Look, you don't think I wish I had the time to be on a jury? I'd be on one all. You don't think I want that sweet $5 a day? Get my hands on that $5? So he's wearing his juror badge. And he's just like, I can't talk about the case. I can't talk about it. Like, okay, you can't talk. You're right, you can't. I can't. Okay, you can't. Can't tell you anything about it. Yeah, I know. Any details, gotta let the legal sit. Yeah, I know. Then finally he goes, yeah, it's about, and he starts telling me, and I was like, no, don't tell me. And he didn't tell me. He knew not to tell me. But he's like waving it. And I was like, well, just tell me this. Is it interesting? He's like, no, it's not. He's making it sound like he's on this Led Zeppelin jury. Imagine how cool it would be on that. I think that was just a judge, though. Sit there. Robert Plant. Jimmy Page in the courtroom. If I was in there, I'd say to them, if you guys do a quick acoustic set, I'm letting you off. I'll side with you. You do a quick acoustic set. Just 4 songs. That's the way. Do Gallows Pole, That's the Way. Basically do side 2 of Led Zeppelin 3. If you do side 2 of Led Zeppelin 3, I'm letting you off. That's what I would have done in that spot. So anyway, this Dreyfus 100, what is that? You're saying to yourself, good heavens, what on earth could that be? Simply put, the Dreyfus 100, I forgot to, hold on. Tonight's episode of The Best Show is brought to you by our friends at Squarespace. What if Squarespace hosted SNL? And your host, Squarespace. Boy, that'd be a weird episode, right? Think Squarespace would come out and sing a song first? I bet you that Squarespace would sing a song. But that's not what we're here to talk about, Squarespace hosting SNL. We're here to talk about your dreams and the things you want to do and make in the world. You have ideas to get your dreams and your passions out there to show the world on the internet. You want everybody to see, but you don't know how to build a website because it's hard. You got to know coding and all this, and you're sitting there and you're sweating, you're getting mad, and the thing's not going upright. It's sideways or crooked because you're doing it wrong. That's why you need Squarespace. Whether you're putting up a landing page, a beautiful gallery, a professional blog, an online store, or whatever, it's all included with your Squarespace website. The custom domain you get. If you sign up for a year, you receive a custom domain for free for a year. Simple and intuitive. You can add and arrange your content and features with the mere click of a mouse or trackpad. Beautiful website templates. You design a best-in-class online store with that Squarespace award-winning template. customizable settings, and more, all without a single plugin. They've got commerce tools that let you track inventory, process orders, and send custom emails, all through one intuitive interface. Customer support, yes! They have 24/7 customer support, and every member of the customer care team is an experienced Squarespace user working from a Squarespace office. No matter how technical or trivial seeming your question might be, one of the team is always online, ready to assist you. So look, you want to get your website out there. You can't beat Squarespace. So this is what you do. You start that free trial today at squarespace.com and enter offer code BESTSHOW to get 10% off your first purchase. Squarespace.com, enter offer code BESTSHOW, BESTSHOW, and you get 10% off your first purchase. Squarespace. Here it comes. Get ready. Squarespace. Build your website, bruh. So anyway, the Dreyfus 100, what is that? Very simple. You know Richard Dreyfus, the actor? If we can get him to call the show, not just tonight, any point, we get him to call, any one of these weeks, any Tuesday night, we get Richard Dreyfus to call, and I want to talk to him for 5 minutes. I'll give $100 to the charity of his choice. And, what else? That's it. He's on Twitter. He's out there. Who knows Richard Dreyfus? And if you're the person who makes it happen, I'll give you something too. The Dreyfus 100 is underway! Get it going! If you can get Richard Dreyfus to call up and to stay on the line for 5 minutes, and I'm going to have a nice conversation with him. We'll talk all about fun stuff. 5 minutes. Thank you, sir. Then he tells me the charity of his choice, $100. Go. You think it'll happen, Mike? I wonder if Richard Dreyfus is going to call. The Dreyfus 100. Will it happen? Richard Dreyfus. I want to ask him about the line, then he can borrow my slicker! From What About Bob? Remember when he screamed that? 5 minutes. $100. And if he wants to keep it, I'll let him keep it. I don't care. He wants to say, man, just give me, look, people can add contributions to the thing also. I'm not going to gather them, because then all of a sudden I'm on the hook. All of a sudden I'm like, okay, we're up to $14,000. And Richard Dreyfus calls, and then suddenly all these listeners vanish. Then I'm on the hook for 14 grand. So I don't look like a chump in front of Richard Dreyfus. No. Someone wants to keep a tab of it and then add up how many people do it. You guys have to do the donations, though. I'm not going to be on the hook for that, man. And Mike, do you know who Nardwar is, Mike? You do? Mike says he has no idea who Nardwar is. Well, Nardwar's a guy from Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, who interviews people. And he interviewed, the other day, the Insane Clown Posse. And I love Nardwar so much. Do you know what this maniac did, Mike? Do you? He did this. No, he didn't do that. He didn't play the Best Show theme. Now, look, I'm going to apologize for any foul language, because the Insane Clown Posse Those are turtlet mouth dudes.
Maybe provoke people. I don't know. I wasn't there. I didn't see it. You know what I think? You know what I think? Honestly, because I was watching from the side, there just was never no bottom. Like the beat.
That's him talking about Andrew WK playing the the Gathering of the Juggalos. Can you imagine performing at the Gathering of the Juggalos? But although at this point, I think the Gathering of the Juggalos is like, the only people there are people covering it. Like there's like 11 Juggalos left. And 4,800 people doing Buzz Hunk. What is it? Buzz? What is that site? Buzz Hunk? BuzzFeed. Feet or feed? Feet. BuzzFeet. Like F-E-A-T? Like what a feet? Feed. No, people are saying it's feed, Mike. People covering it for BuzzFeed.
You know, when you feel it in your chest and start to move, it never happened. I'm not dissing his music.
Okay, hold on. I'll pot it up. This is Nardwar.
Another person that loves you right here is comedian Tom Sharpling. Have you heard of comedian Tom Sharpling?
That one is slipping my mind at this.
Oh, boy, that's a great feeling. When... What's the juggalo with the shaved head? Which one's that? One is Violent J and one is Shaggy Too Dumb. Which one's which? Does anybody know? Out there? Violent J and Shaggy Too Dumb. Too Dope. Which one? Okay, so Shaggy Too Dope just said he has no idea who I am.
Have you heard of comedian Tom Sharpling?
That one is slipping my mind at this particular moment.
This is a gift for you, a Sharpling and Worcester LP in Seeing Clown Posse. And he really wants to come to the gathering to experience the helicopter rides.
Helicopter rise ain't no more.
So this is a reference to the thing that me and Paul F. Tompkins did, talking about the Gathering of the Juggalos. Nardwar's bringing this right to their face.
Why and how did you convince people to give helicopter rides to juggalos?
Money, my friend. You know what I'm saying? Every man has his price. Come on.
We're in the location. The gathering moves around to different locations, and where we're having the gathering this year and where it was.
There's a point when you watch them talk, and they're just wearing the makeup, and the strangest part is when you just get used to it. And when you think, I'm happy that they look like that and not like people without makeup. Is that a weird point to get to? Nah, I bounced forward.
Gathering to experience the helicopter rides.
Helicopter rides ain't no more.
Why and how did you convince people to give helicopter rides to juggalos?
Money, my friend. You know what I'm saying? Every man has his price. Come on.
We're in the location. The gathering moves around to different locations. And where we're having the gathering this year and where it was last year, they won't give us a permit for the helicopter rides. You know what I mean? But people are still finding ways to get high.
He also loves, Tom Sharpling, the human cannonball.
Well, that jumps off. There's all sorts of freak shows like that jumping off at the Gathering of the Juggalos, you know. Anything like that. If you're a human cannonball, come show us what you got. If you can shoot yourself out of a cannon, we'd love to see it.
How do you stop Juggalo versus Juggalo?
Okay. So, look, did I think that they knew who I was? No. Did I think? What, I think they're going to invite Gary the Squirrel to the Gathering of the Juggalos? No, I didn't. But when Shaggy Too Dope says, man, that one slipped away, even... It's something about that. But I'll say this. These Juggalos. If it wasn't for the hate, is it hateful? I don't know. Is it a hateful thing? I don't know. Look. God bless them, the Juggalos. Just do your thing. Just don't hold the gathering in New Jersey. Imagine if they held the gathering. If they did, I'd send Mike to it, first of all. Mike might perform at it. Picture Mike with the Juggalo makeup on, right? What do you think the Venn diagram between Masses and Insane Clown Posse is? I bet you there's a few. That's a few. That's just kind of like the fork in the road, like Robert Frost said. I went down the road less traveled, and that, my ninja, made all the difference. Whether I was out on Drug Bridge selling homemade PCP, or whether I was a regular at Masses telling Mike that he's an egghead. Do they call you egghead there, Mike? They must not like those fancy books you're always reading, right? Mike said one guy brought in a book there. It was the movie novelization of Pixels. The movie Pixels. And he said that this was the best book he ever read. It was written on a roll of toilet paper. So thank you, Nardwar. You know I love you, buddy. Thank you, Nardwar, for bringing up Sharpling and Worcester to Violent J and Shaggy 2 Dope. Maybe. Look, those guys are doing the Gathering of the Juggalos. What am I doing? I'm selling books. I'm selling my books. Sound like Foster Brooks there for a second. I'm selling my books. Real current reference that'll help build the audience. The millennials really like Foster Brooks references. They don't like my. I make Shane Dawson references. I'm too far behind the curve with that. They don't want to hear Shane Dawson, let alone Foster Brooks. Foster Brooks was a comedian who used to pretend he was drunk. He was very, was he funny? I don't know. It was a thing. It happened. People watched it. It was way before my time. Don't think I'm 67 years young. Still up doing my thing, feeling spry. I kind of have that Sid Caesar thing going on. Tight polo shirt. Clear, I go to the gym. Dreyfus 100. Do you think he'll call Mike? $100 to the charity of his choice. Richard Dreyfus. And it does. It could be tonight. It could be next week. Maybe we should subtract $5 from it a week. That I put a little urgency in there. No. Well, we'll do 100. And people can match it, but I ain't keeping track of those. Speaking of the Gathering of Juggalos, a couple friends of mine have fundraising endeavors that they have going on. Nathan Rabin, you remember him, Mike? He was an author. He wrote a book about the Juggalos and fish called You Don't Know Me, But You Don't Like Me. And now he has something going on where he's trying to, he's going to the Republican National Convention and to the Gathering of the Juggalos. I don't know, I don't have a link on this thing. Somebody can send me the link on that. He's on Twitter. You hit him up on Twitter. So he's got that going on. And then, in the main event, my friend Greg Needham, a very talented young man, he wrote a comic book. Comic book, graphic, not, what do you call it? I don't know. It's called Mixed Signals. And I got a sneak peek at this thing, man. It's a graphic novel. It's good. This guy put together a great book. It looks fantastic. He's got great stories. He's a great writer. He's got great artists on this thing. His Kickstarter, I think if you search Mixed Signals over at Kickstarter, you can find it. Greg's got his thing up. I think it just went live today. And there's all different pledge points. Show my bro Greg a little bit of support. Buy the book. It's good. It legitimately is good. It's well done. Kick something his way, huh? Would you? Would you kickstart him? Kickstart my heart. Remember when Motley Crue did that song? Kickstart my heart. Yeah, they suck. Is that an unpopular opinion? Let's let the unpopular opinions begin! If you have what you would consider to be an unpopular opinion, call 201-3-323-484. And give us your unpopular opinion. I'm looking at Twitter. And the hashtag is UnpopularOpinionsBS. And I'm looking at some of these right here. Look at some of these. First of all, somebody said, I can't believe AP Mike thought it was BuzzFeed. Me neither. Look. He's walking around that jury duty that I'm a juror. It's like, okay, we get it. I was just like, you couldn't beat the rap on that thing, man? I beat the rap on it. You get in there, the judge asks you what you think. You can't think clearly. I'm sending mixed messages that I'm pro-cop, but I am railing against police corruption. They don't even know what they're going to get me in the box. They're better off going somewhere else, right? I think everybody you want to get out of the box, just mention with that guy at that comic book convention I was at a couple weeks ago. Start talking about how you collect decapitation covers for comic books.
Well, I have a few unique interests. I like porcelain dolls. I'm a big collector. I spend a fair amount of time at Build-A-Bear. Every chance I get, I like to go to Build-A-Bear and just lurk, and I also like eating at the American Girl Cafe. What is it, like the lunch? They have like a luncheonette or something. I like hanging out at the American Girl Cafe, pick out a new doll, and then I generally buy it and then bring it back for a refund. And I'm also a collector of, I also have one of the biggest collections of decapitation comic book covers in the United States. So when do we, when's this guy get the chair? And a quick question, Your Honor, can I be there when this loser gets the chair? Any chance, Your Honor, I could throw the switch on this guy?
Mike booted it. You booted it, buddy. Best show.
Hello?
Hello.
Hey, this is Dan in Queens.
Dan in Queens. What's up in Queens tonight, Dan?
Not too much. Just turned off the convention to listen to the best show.
Okay.
But I have one for the topic.
Unpopular opinions. What do you got?
My unpopular opinion is that we should let panda bears go extinct.
Okay, that is a pretty unpopular opinion.
Yep.
Okay. And why? Why?
Well, I think there's always such a big effort when they're in zoos to, like, get them to actually, like, have babies, mm-hmm. that if they can't figure it out on their own, then, I don't know, we should probably just let nature take its course.
No, I gotta say, that is an unpopular opinion.
Yep.
You kicked this segment off just right, Dan. Bye. Best show.
Hey, how you doing, Tom?
Oh, I'm doing well. To whom am I speaking?
This is Nolan in Arizona.
Nolan in Arizona. What's up, Nolan?
Oh, not too much. I got one for the topic.
Unpopular opinions. What do you have?
I think that the TV show Firefly was terrible.
I think I might agree with you. I tried watching it, and I was just like, I don't get it. I don't want it. Right?
Oh, yeah. That theme song is so corny. And then...
And it was like boom, 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 right? We're flying around in our old spaceship. We're going off to the moon, flying around the stars. In our spaceship, the Firefly, seeking out new horizons. 'Cause I'm a Firefly, a Firefly.
I mean, I think that's probably better.
Like they're beating you over the head with it. It's a West. No, I get it's a Western. It's a space Western. Really? Oh, I missed out on that when they boom, 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 boom. That theme. I missed that it was a Western, that you didn't have you didn't have space music playing.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
And then I was going to ask you too. That Nardwar guy?
Yes.
Did you look at his Wikipedia page at all?
I didn't look at his Wikipedia page. I've probably watched about 45 hours of his videos.
Okay.
Why do you ask?
Well, I looked him up when you mentioned him because I'd never heard of him. And there's like a whole paragraph of quotes from people saying that it's the best interview they've ever had in their life, and then just saying citation needed afterwards.
Well, go watch the videos, bub. You got a lot waiting for you.
Okay.
You haven't watched these Nardwar videos yet? Huh? You got a big night ahead of you.
Oh, boy.
They're great. Are you kidding?
I've never heard of them.
Well, now you have. And now you're going to get... You need to watch the Pharrell Williams interview is great. That's a really good one. The Snoop Dogg ones are always great. He's really awesome. The Marc Maron one is funny. There's so many. Nardwar, boom, 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 Nardwar, boom, 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 boom.
Ba-boom. I'll check him out.
Ba-boom. Right? You don't know. Well, why am I saying right to you? You don't know. Get off my phone. Ba-boom.
Nardwar's like a genius. All right. Couple other unpopular. Here's an unpopular opinion from me. Let's see. Nick DiPaolo, the comedian, made fun of my jacket at a show a long time ago. I disagree with him on all his political points. Look, maybe it's unpopular in this thing. I think he's super funny. I think he's incredibly funny. You can think somebody's funny who you disagree with. And I think he's really funny. People gotta, you can disagree and then think it's funny. He's really funny. But he made fun of my jacket. Didn't like that. Made me feel stupid. Sitting there, paying customer. You know, well, I want to look at your jacket this guy's got. What are you? Yeah, it's February in New York. It's a winter jacket, Nick. Sorry, I'm not wearing your the Lords of Flatbush jacket. What are you auditioning for the off Broadway production of Lords of Flatbush? Huh? What are you did you buy your clothes at the Woody Allen Sylvester Stallone on the subway in Bananas collection? But he's funny. Unpopular opinions. 201-332-3484. Best show.
Hi, Tom.
Yes.
Yes, hi. This is Pat in D.C. I'm calling with a unpopular opinion.
Pat in D.C., what do you got, Pat?
All right. This is one that I often say in less nuanced terms.
Okay.
And I'm going to try to expound upon a bit.
No, your phone's your phone. What are you calling on? What is this? What are you calling a Netflix phone or something? What is this?
Apparently, I don't know. Maybe it turned into Netflix.
Are you Skyping in?
No, it's as much of a phone as anybody uses nowadays.
Okay, well, it's
you know, a little pocket computer.
It don't sound so good.
I'm sorry.
Well, go ahead with what you got.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Burritos are garbage. My usual catchphrase.
Burritos are garbage. Why? What don't you like about burritos? You mean all burritos?
That it's a disappointing presentation of the meat or whatever compared to a taco or a similar other variations of similar uses of, let's say, carnitas are a less are a worse presentation of that.
Okay.
That instead of taking it, stuffing it in a tortilla with
Is it just too much?
Yeah.
You don't like the idea that you have this thing in your hand that's like 3/4 of a pound.
Yeah, like I say, just put like some carnitas in a nice corn tortilla, which also provides a nice counterpoint that the flour tortilla doesn't.
What's carnitas? And like, what is carnitas? I don't eat meat. What is carnitas?
Yeah, it's pork. It's a cumin and orange.
I eat fish, right? I eat fish. I don't care what anybody eats. I don't care. You eat meat? Good for you. You eat it all day. It's bad for you. You eat what I'm saying. Stop it. The meat police? I know some of the most unhealthy people I know are these vegetarians. All they do is eat fried things that just happen to not be made of meat.
Yeah.
Meat. Remember that hummus commercial when the guy's like, I know what I'd put it on. Meat. No, you don't.
Yeah,
of course you wouldn't. No, you're a cord cutter, right? You're a cord cutter, aren't you?
No, I don't know.
Nice, you cut the cord on that cheap phone. Get off my phone. Best show.
Hi.
Hi.
Hey, so all right, hey, Tom, how's it going?
No, that's all right.
Oh, sorry. Don't make fun of my voice.
I'm not making fun of your voice.
I'm very self-conscious about my voice.
I'm not making fun of it. Why would you think I was making fun of it?
Thanks, I appreciate that.
Oh, thanks, I appreciate it too. So, what are you calling about?
I have something for the topic.
What do you got for the topic?
What, my unpopular opinion? Yeah. I think Birdman was an absolute garbage movie.
You didn't like Birdman, starring Michael Keaton.
Yeah, I thought it was like insufferably middle brow, just like an idiot's idea of what art is.
Mm-hmm.
It was completely on the nose. I hate everything about it.
All right, look. Was I a big fan of Birdman? No, I wasn't. I hated his movie after that more. The Remnant. What was that?
Yes.
Right? The movie where they were chasing that animal around, a bear got attacked again at a carpet store? The Remnant? You still there?
Yeah, I didn't catch that one. I've never been a Michael Keaton fan in the first place, but after Birdman, I just...
Somebody here actually wants to talk to you about Birdman.
Oh, really?
Yeah, hold on. And what did you want to say about it?
I got to disagree with this guy completely. I think Birdman's one of the best movies I've ever seen. What's your name?
My name?
Yeah.
Marcel.
Marcel.
Yeah.
You know what my name is?
What's your name?
Selmar.
Selmar.
Selmar. I'm the opposite of you.
Oh, okay, yeah, I got you. You're my doppelganger, Bizarro.
I'm your evil
Where are you calling from, Marcel?
Orlando.
Yeah, so it was all right for you to do an impression of me for 10 minutes. I start doing one of you within 5 seconds. Oh, you're making fun of my voice, I'm sensitive.
You're right, I'm a hypocrite.
Yeah, and I sent you a prize for it. Right?
I actually never got that.
Hold on, you didn't get it? I sent you something, you seriously didn't get it?
No, I didn't.
Email me, I seriously sent you stuff. I'm not joking.
I do believe you, but I might have gotten lost in the mail. I don't know what happened.
Email me. I'll straighten it out. Well, you should, because I take care of the people who listen to this show. There's only 48 of you, but I take care of all of you. What are we going to do? I'll say this. You tell me, Marcel.
Mm-hmm.
This show's on a hot streak now, right? You feel it?
You've been on a hot streak for 15 years.
No, but in spite of a sub hot streak.
Okay.
In spite of in a more narrow cast on this, right?
Mm-hmm.
Shows lately have been really good.
Oh yeah, I agree. I think they have been.
But why don't they care? Why? We're doing the best thing here. None of them can touch it. Is it just straight up jealousy?
Well, I do listen to a lot of other podcasts, and I gotta say this—it's you bring the quality, and other podcasts they bring the quality, and they just, you know, they have these USB microphones. Mm-hmm. It sounds like garbage.
Yeah, I went in
and they're talking about fast food, and
I went in the tank to build this studio. I'm straight up busted. I'm selling my own books. People should go to Facebook, the Best Show account. What is it, Dudio? The Best Show? TheBestShow.net. That's where the Facebook thing is? All right, go to TheBestShow.net. There's a link to the list of books I'm selling. You can buy books, and all the money goes to The Best Show. All right. I'm bouncing all these guys. Author. You know, I'm bouncing Dudio and Mike. Pat's good. Pat's good. I like Pat. Pat's a quality guy. Dudio and Mike. They just have expired. You know what I mean? You know what I mean, Marcel?
could you rope in masses somehow? Maybe use them as another arm of the Best Show.
Well, I don't think that's a very good idea. I actually think Pat is the worst part of the show. I actually think Tom's the worst part, then Pat, then Dudio, and I think Mike is my favorite part of the show. It's me, Selmar.
Hey, Selmar, what's up?
Not a whole lot. What's down, Marcel?
Yeah, well, you know. Just living life.
Yeah. Guess what I was doing?
What were you doing, Selmar?
I was watching Birdman again for the 850th time.
Wow, Selmar, you have terrible taste in movies.
I think you do. You didn't understand it. I think it went over your head.
Well, over my head.
Okay, no, there you. I'm done. Thank you, buddy. Email me and I'll get you. We'll get you square on the thing.
All right, cool. I'll do that. Thank you.
Bye. Mike, is my guest here? Bring him in, please. Oh, here he comes. Do you have a beverage, Gabe? Do you want something?
I got one?
You should. If you want one to drink, you should get it. They didn't take care of it. They didn't get him a drink. It's already off the... Pat would have got him a drink. I know the other two were... Mike's too busy waving that juror thing in everyone's face and then God knows what planet Dudio's on. You can sit there. Why don't you sit in there in the blue chair? Blue chair. Then there's headphones there. Yeah.
Great.
You can put those on.
Thank you.
We have Gabe Delahaye is here.
Hi.
Hi. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for coming.
Thanks for having me.
Now, for people who don't know, and everybody knows who you are.
Oh, yeah.
You're a funny guy.
Oh, thank you very much.
You used to be in charge of Bazooka?
Yep.
Gum,
I was
right?
The chief editor-in-chief of Bazooka Gum.
That's right.
.org.
Bazooka Gum. No, it was... Video Gum.
It was.
And you were the one who ran, you were the gatekeeper.
I was.
On videos of...
all of the funniest kids popping out of dumpsters, punching each other in the face.
Literally the video I was going to say. I swear. The greatest video I've ever seen is the one when they're in a high school.
Yeah.
And they're talking. And then... they're like fake interviewing kids. And the whole point is that there's a garbage can right where the person being interviewed is at. And then the guy goes, with a mask on. And then this one kid hauls off and punches the kid in the mask right in the snout.
And he falls right back in the trash.
He goes, yeah, where he belongs. In the trash.
Yeah.
You do that, you scare people, you're trash.
It's a classic. We could have been done. Like, the day that video went up, we could have just shut down the rest of the internet. Closer to the mic? Okay. How is that?
Sounds good to me.
Okay, great.
Look, Dudio's got very,
he runs a tight ship. He runs a tight ship.
He does?
Yeah.
He's doing great. I like Dudio. I like Mike. I like Pat. I think it's the three of them together. Mike hates Dudio.
Right.
Dudio hates Mike.
Right.
Pat hates both of them.
Right.
They both like Pat.
Right. That's a tough,
weird
triangle.
Yeah. They just...
no, it was rough out there. It was rough waiting. It was rough waiting to come in, just all the tension.
Yeah, sitting at them, trying to make small talk.
Mm-hmm.
Dudio's like, so, hey, you on that jury still? Yeah. Yeah, still on the jury. Can't tell you about it, though. Wish I could.
If I could just say real quick to you and any of your listeners, I have not watched this week's Ballers, so just know... Ballers, spoilers
yeah.
on the show.
Me neither.
If possible.
I'm I watched Vice Principals.
I haven't seen that yet either, but less concerned about Vice Principals spoilers. Ballers Principal, like, you know, as we know, Spence got the speedboat at the end of season one, and
remind
I don't know what
happens
yet.
Remind me who Spence is again.
Spence is played by The Rock.
Okay.
He is the star of Ballers.
Mm-hmm. And then there's that one guy who's like The Rock off steroids.
Which one's that?
The other... Rob
Corddry.
He looks like
That's
on the
right.
show. Like, he's supposed to be like Rock Jr.
Yeah.
Is his name Rock Jr. on it?
Yeah, his name is Rock Jr. That... The season finale of... Season one of Ballers was real good, and I can't wait to see where the gang picks up in season two.
Because Ballers, for people who don't know, what Entourage was to Hollywood, Ballers is to Miami.
Yeah, what Entourage was to the universally recognized idea of show business and mm-hmm. movies and celebrity, Ballers is to financial advisors for NFL players.
Well, it's another one of HBO's many shows about the people next to the thing, where it's like Entourage is, yeah, it's a guy who runs it's the friends of the famous guy.
Yeah. It's really about Turtle. Yeah. It's actually Turtle's show.
Veep is about the person next to the president.
Mm-hmm. Vice Principals.
Vice Principals.
Haven't seen it, but I'm assuming.
It's about the person next to the principal. And Ballers... It's yeah. about the person next to a football player.
Yeah. That's an interesting observation.
They like the people next to the person.
Even in How to Make It in America, mm-hmm. I mean, the guys were trying to design their own streetwear, mm-hmm. but, like, with their brand Crisp. But the Neanderthals streetwear brand was doing better. Like, Crisp was still second to Neanderthals.
I've pushed that out of my brain, How to Make It in America.
Not me.
You're still...
I'm still deep in it.
You're still wondering what they're doing right now?
I'm still writing new episodes in my head.
There's six seasons deep in your yeah. head. Because that was the show. Was there two seasons of that?
Two seasons.
I need money. A dollar is all I need.
Genuinely great opening credits. Like an opening title sequence that was one of my favorites. And then, you know, season one, the guys really wanted to make denim. Mm-hmm. Then they transition to hoodies. And at the end of season two, they're mm-hmm. at a party and they're like, we're doing it. We're going back to denim.
Mm-hmm.
It's a celebration. And then they cancel the show.
Well, you have certainly set the table for unpopular opinions. Is that like...
Is that How to Make It in America is the
best
stop. Show?
Yeah. But it just didn't end. Your yeah. opinion is like, yeah, How to Make It in America is still on. It's like, that's so unpopular that it's like, it's like,
we're all still
troubling.
We're all still thinking about it.
Bum, 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 bum. Don't you like when everything had that song? Bum, 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 bum.
I love it.
Ballers had it. Is that J. Cole, right?
Yeah.
Bum, 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 bum. And then the Entourage trailer had that.
Another great movie.
I went to see that with my wife, okay. And then she was just like...
How'd that go over?
Oh, that was not...
What was the...
She was just like... She was like, that was really long.
Yeah.
I was like, I wanted 4 more hours of it.
Did you, like, what was the conversation? Was she on board to go with you right away? Or was there a little negotiating involved?
There was no negotiating. She's up for it, but she's just like, well, it's like when we walked out of, when we saw Eyes Wide Shut and then we're walking out of the theater and I'm just like, trying to think of what did the master mean with, this movie? And she just went, well, that sucked. And I was like, I think you might. You might have summed it up. This, she was just like, well, that was super long. And I was just like.
I can totally understand that. I also feel, though, if you went to the Entourage movie with the right mindset,
mm-hmm.
it was honestly one of the most satisfying movie experience. Like, if you went to it mm-hmm. wanting what it was definitely mm-hmm. going to be.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
Yeah. Dudio saw it, like, the night it came out. Jason? He went upstairs. He saw it as soon as it came out, and he was just like, the way he was hyping that thing, I thought, it's like, man, I better hope I can get tickets to this thing.
Yeah.
And then I think he went to the one sold out show of the screen of Entourage. Cause then I get to the thing and just like, well, that's saying to my wife, look, okay, we got the tickets. We should probably leave early. I don't want to be sitting in the front row for this thing.
Yeah.
Telling you right now.
Staring up.
I'm staring up at the screen, I'm not going to be happy. There's only one chance to see the Entourage movie for the first time. If I'm looking at this thing, a weird front row all the way to the left, and if you were in that situation, Gabe, at a movie, you were just like, you're like, boy, I sure been waiting for this new Star Wars movie. And then you're just like, well, here's your seat. First row all the way against the left wall of the theater.
I think I saw one of the Spider-Men, one of the Tobey Maguire ones, I think, in 3D IMAX from the bottom right corner.
Does it 3D work?
Worst, it was the worst. Like we should have just left. It was the worst experience of my life. Like, I had a headache the whole time. I don't remember. You couldn't see anything that was going on.
It feels like the 3D, you'd be looking up at, like, it'd be happening over you.
Yeah, it was a terrible movie because of my experience. I'm sure it's a great movie.
Yeah, I'm sure people who got seats dead center were just
still
like,
talking about it.
Yeah, they're still just like,
I don't know why they're still not doing those movies with Tobey Maguire. I don't know. I mean, we should be seven deep in this now.
Yeah. Spider-Man should be 45 years old.
Just like, hold on. Wait. Yes, with great power. Yes, all that, of course. But my left leg is killing me.
Spider-Man has sciatica.
Yeah, just seriously. My leg is, it just, yes, I've got super spider powers and all that stuff. I'm going to shoot the webs sitting down.
Remember when Batman had no cartilage in his knees? There was like a whole scene about how he didn't have cartilage in his knees.
Was that in that third Batman movie? Mm-hmm.
That fun scene in the Batman movie where he had to go to the doctor because he didn't have cartilage in his knees. Yeah.
And then Thomas Lennon was the doctor all of a sudden.
He was.
Like, well, that took me out of the Batman movie.
It's
the guy from, Lieutenant Dangle. Is in the Batman movie suddenly.
One time, this is completely, well, it's not unrelated, but I live in Los Angeles now, greatest city on earth. And one time I was driving down Hollywood Boulevard, and you know how they have like the Grauman's Chinese Theater, which is like their Times Square, and there's all the people in costumes.
Sure, yes.
There was a guy dressed as Lieutenant Dangle taking pictures, which I just thought was the funniest. There's like a Spider-Man and an Alice in Wonderland and a
iconic
Transformer. Yeah. And then there's Lieutenant Dangle.
Yeah. Somebody was kind of like, you know, there's not a whole lot of alt comedy. like one person probably went up there and was just kind of like, there's no, Alan from The Hangover here I can get my picture with or anyone from Reno 911. There's no,
I just in the drive-by saw three people ask him for directions.
They just think it's a L.A. cop.
Yeah.
Yesterday I was walking through Times Square, and what a fun. It's so fun in the middle of July when every person either has a rolling suitcase or some sort of stroller or something, and then everybody's pushing their way past women, topless women now who are just painted is the new thing. You might not have seen since you last left, Gabe.
That seems cool.
They're topless and they just paint on their toplessness and they can like be in there for pictures and they're like yelling.
In front of the M&M store?
Yeah, they were like, take your picture! They're like next to like a, it's like Iron Man. There's that one Hulk guy who is like, looks like Hulk stopped halfway through the transformation, like something happened. We're just like, yeah, you're kind of ripped.
Right.
But you're not the Hulk. You're just like, you just look like an MMA. You look like a tomato can in an MMA tomato can painted green. Yeah. And they're next to him. And then I hooked a right down one of the streets. And it's just
42nd?
I think it was probably 44th at this point.
Okay.
And who is right in front of me? Naked Cowboy.
Oh, the best. And the king.
The king of Times Square. And he was getting ready. He just was kind of like, I mean, I don't know what he was saying. I don't want to say anything that he was saying. That guy will probably sue me. Not like that. That guy seems like he'd be cruising for a loss.
I've heard
he?
That he's very litigious, yeah.
He seems litigious,
yeah.
Right?
Like, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he was there. And then it's like, there's people who think this is New York. Like, they think that's actually what it's like. It's like, no, that's a two-block area that's only been like this for 3 years.
Yeah.
This area used to be a war zone when you'd have guys like Mike. Right, Mike? You remember what Times Square was like in the old days, right?
There was a documentary, I think there's like clips on YouTube, of some documentary about New York in the 70s. I can't remember what the documentary was called, where someone had put like a video or film camera in the window of one of the Times Square buildings.
Mm-hmm.
And it's literally people getting the crap beaten out of them.
That's and not then funny.
It's not funny. It's horrible, but it's like people just getting beat up and no one and everyone just walking away and nothing happens. And right then, in front of the M&M store.
And then now it's the M&M store, which I have to say, I went in there once. I didn't buy anything. How did I do that? How did I not buy? Like,
what did you think you were going to find in there? You're like, they don't have what I want.
You got, hey, you guys got Kit Kats? What if 50 years from now, New York changes so much that like the M&M store, that there's a store for every, like, you know, like the Crunch store,
I would believe it. I would believe it.
Right?
We're on our way.
Yeah. The Butterfinger store.
There was I remember one time when I did live in New York and I was in Times Square for something.
Before you moved to Los Angeles.
Before I moved to Los Angeles, which is the greatest city on earth. I was in Times Square for something and was walking towards the subway, and off of Times Square on like 41st mm-hmm. or 42nd, there was a pop-up Pop-Tart store. And it was such a like sad, like, just trying to capture that energy, capture the excitement of the M&M experience, mm-hmm. but it wasn't even really quite in Times Square, and it was dirty, and it was, like, some of the lights weren't working.
And you're just kind of wondering, it's just like, is this, do the Pop-Tart people know about this?
Is it helping? Like, is it helping?
Yeah. Is this going to be some thing where it's just like, boy, I ate those Pop-Tarts, I don't feel good. And I just, I'm going to go back to my town and tell everybody I think Pop-Tarts aren't good anymore. Like, it's just like some other company is like, it would be like, who would it be? Not Annie's. They're not going to. Annie's has like their brand of Pop-Tart. You ever have like the health ones? And then you like
that's
look
terrible.
You look at the box. It's like, these are actually a little worse for you than Pop-Tarts. Like, I'm better off just eating a Pop-Tart. These are like. They are pot. They're probably made in the same factory.
Annie's is like.
Oh, I don't want to make it. Annie's is like the Naked Cow. I don't want to be in a lawsuit.
But Annie, like, all Annie sells is mac and cheese, fake mm-hmm. Pop-Tarts, and frozen burritos.
Yeah.
It's the healthiest, probably one of the healthiest brands.
Yeah. But they put a little rabbit on it.
That is true.
You know, when you feed Pop-Tarts to your rabbit.
Brain food.
Let's go to the phones. Who's good here, Mike? Mike left? What? He left also? Best show.
Hi, Tom, this is Kat from Raleigh.
Kat from Raleigh. How are you, Kat?
Well, I've been calling, even before I heard of the topic, which is totally in my wheelhouse, by the way. I wanted to call over a couple of reasons. First of all, my birthday is on Thursday, so I just wanted to,
let me say to you,
I think you'll be able to actually do it before too long. It's finally becoming public domain.
Look, I already got a lawsuit with the Naked Cowboy and with Annie's all over me. I can't have the Hill Sisters coming after me still, too, until that one's clear. Until that's clear, I don't want the Hill Sisters. Do they have to give all that money back? Is there, like, some great grandkid who's just, like, in a mansion somewhere who's just like, no! They came up with Happy Birthday 100 years. And then, like, they found some, like, school book that had, like, the same melody written in it. And they're just like, ah! Like, he's got a giant statue of his great-great-grandmother's. And he's just like, it's like Rocky III when he throws the motorcycle helmet at the Rocky statue.
It would suck if you were the first, like, all of your previous ancestors had lived high on the hog, and suddenly you have to get a job. Mm-hmm. It'd be tough.
I think we could pitch that. We actually could pitch that show. That actually is the most pitchable thing I've ever heard. 100.
Well, okay. Sorry.
No, go ahead, Kat. It's all yours.
The other thing I was going to say, like, outside of the topic, was I have really super enjoyed the last couple of new episodes of Steven Universe, especially the one where John was on yesterday.
Yes.
And
that was the return started yesterday, a summer of Steven Universe, which is the cartoon that I do a voice on and John Worster does a voice on. Gabe, are you on Steven Universe?
Nope.
Okay. Well, I'll look. Let's see if we can remedy that.
Give me a call.
But I was just thinking, after tonight's episode, why don't you have a life imitates art kind of thing and raise money for the best show, like give Rock and Roll Dreams Will Come Through to Burger King or something?
Hey, if Burger King wants to buy it, they can. If I'll say this, I'll sell songs.
Yeah, for sure.
You know what I got to do a song about? Is this, you know, it's money just sitting there on the table. If there could be some kind of song about the, this Pokemon Go, right? Any kind of song, like that would be like a hit single, right? Wouldn't it just like, if you could come up with something Pokemon Go related?
I think you just did it. That was it.
Yeah, people are just throwing money at that thing. Kat, do you do Pokemon Go?
I don't have enough space on my phone for it. Mm-hmm. I actually was never allowed to play it as a kid, but a friend who moved to Arizona gave me an old Game Boy, so I've started playing one of the older games.
So you're playing one, but you're not playing the game that where everybody's running around in a panic to get a picture because Squirtle was walking down the street or whatever.
I mean, I've been with some friends while they've done it, but I have such a big backlog of old Besto episodes I haven't listened to on my phone that I don't have room for it.
Yes, thank you, Kat. I like that.
I saw a guy walking down the street the other night, all alone, playing Pokemon Go. And it was, I felt like genuinely embarrassed for it. Like I was the only one who saw him and I still felt so embarrassed.
Cause this game, this Pokemon Go, basically people go around with their phone and they're looking at the world through their phone screen and it's telling them like, oh, take a picture of Pikachu's up the street. And then like they run. There was a thing in Brooklyn where there's just like one of these characters like showed up in a park, the video of it. This would have been all over video gum. Oh, you should. Oh, you missed the.
If only I was still writing video gum.
If only you were back at video gum. They had a thing. You'd think that it was like a scene from Independence Day, except the people running away from a fireball were running toward some Pokemon thing that showed up. People were literally parking their car and like running out of their car like I don't care if my car gets towed, I'm getting a picture of this thing. And they're running into the park and it's just like, so if that's what's going on and that's the money that's getting thrown around, if I came up with some kind of novelty song tied to Pokemon Go.
Yeah.
Be rolling in. That'd be like the Hill Sisters all over again.
It really would be the new Happy Birthday.
But I do have something for the topic.
What do you have, Kat, for the topic? Unpopular opinions.
I mean, I'm just glad I get to tell it to someone new because this is something I tell my friends on a regular basis.
Yes.
The Smiths are a god-awful band.
That is an unpopular opinion. What don't you like about the Smiths?
Well, I mean, I know everyone hates Morrissey, but, like, also they're...
Hold on.
They're weird.
You know that everyone hates Morrissey. I don't know if that's... I don't know if your house is built on solid ground with that as the foundation. Does everybody hate Morrissey?
Well, I mean, like, even people who love the Smiths, like, at least recognize that he's a jerk. But
I don't know
if
that's true either. I think he's an insane person. Like, he's a character. But I don't know if everybody thinks he's a jerk.
But in any case, Johnny Marr was the only true talent in that band, and I just more.
Well, I don't know if that's true either.
I told you it was unpopular.
Well, you know what? You are 100% right. But you're saying everybody. You started off, Kat, by saying everybody knows Morrissey is terrible.
Yeah, the unpopular opinion was that the Smiths aren't good, but then it was backed up by the facts of Morrissey being hated universally.
It was a figure of.
Okay, that's
fine. I'm sorry.
Look, Kat, you called in with a fair and square unpopular opinion. This is an unpopular opinion. There's a lot of Morrissey fans out there and Smiths fans. Chris Gethard has two Morrissey tattoos.
Oh, dear.
You don't like one Smith song.
If I do, it's in spite of Morrissey, not because of him. I mean, like,
is there one you can think? Is there one you can think of that you don't hate?
A couple of them are "Sweet as Murder," not the title track. Mm-hmm. I mean, because I aggressively pretended to like the Smiths for like a couple of years, and I was like, forget it, I can't do this anymore.
Can you hear that? What about the song where he's like, remember the one where he's like, I am the sun and the air, right, that one? Of a shyness that is terminally vulgar. That one? You don't like that one?
I am the sun and air. The lyrics, they make my skin crawl.
Have nothing. And you go and you go to yourself, and you go home and you cry and you want to die. You don't like that one?
I don't get it because, like, you see, I like a lot of bands who are inspired by them, but
Big Mouth, la da 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 da.
Big
Mouth strikes again, and I got no time to give my face to the human race. You don't like that
but
one?
I
know one you would probably like. Did you ever hear the song, There Is a Light That Will Never Go Out?
Oh, that's worse! My cousin played that at her
wedding. And if a double-decker truck
nub inside
crashes into us. You don't like that? To die
you're
by your side.
How
are the pleasure, the privilege is mine.
I'm entertained by you seeing them, but with that each successive, like,
there is
proposal,
a light
you strike
and it
out.
Never goes out. There is a light and it never goes out. You don't like that?
Do you like the Smiths now?
No.
Yes,
now
by now. What if I was the lead singer? What if I was the lead singer of the Smiths?
If you didn't do the Morrissey voice, it might be tolerable.
What if Zach De La Rocha was the lead singer of the Smiths? Would you like it then?
That would be hilarious.
Or what if Morrissey was the lead singer of Rage Against the Machine? That'd be pretty awesome,
be
right? Lights out, Gorilla Radio. Right? Just picture Morrissey doing those songs, right? Just picture him sleep out in the fire. You're having fun over there. Boom, boom, on, 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 boom, on, on. Just testify. Just getting lost in the mix. The Nina, the Pinta, the Santa Maria. Well, Kat, you definitely called with maybe the most unpopular opinion of the night so far. Until I get to mine.
The people, I think I have some people on Twitter probably want my head on a plate.
Well, what are you going to do? You'll be fine. You probably have people cheering right now saying, thankfully, somebody's speaking up against the
I'd like to think so.
Against that racist.
Yes.
He is racist.
Yes, he is.
Yeah, he's
pretty bad.
Yeah, he's got some issues to work out.
So that's not great.
No, it's not. Right?
La-da-da-da-da-dum. Big mouth, la-da-da-dum.
Right?
Big mouth strikes again.
You think he's a hypocrite, though. Like he's
Shoplifters of the world, stand up and be counted. Whatever it is. I don't know. Hand it over. So ask me, ask me, ask me.
Right?
And yeah. In love.
All right, Kat. Thanks for the call.
Okay. No problem.
Have a great birthday.
Happy birthday,
Kat. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Man. Sounds like a cross between Morrissey and Michigan J. Frog. Okay. Sure, there's a performative quality to some of the...
I take that as a compliment.
Yeah, right?
I think about Michigan J. Frog once a week.
Any of those things where it's so... Those have always upset me my whole life when it's just like, he was just talking a minute ago. You should, like, as a kid, I was always just like... Like with Mr. Ed, when people would be like, the horse, you should have heard what he was just saying. Say it, buddy. Say it. Come on. You were just doing it a minute ago.
Yeah, I know what you mean, but Michigan J. Frog, genuinely a hero of mine, with his top hat and his cane.
Hello, my baby. Hello, my darling. You like that ragtime?
I love it. I love the ragtime. I love that it ends in, like, 2050 or whatever, and they like bury him in another bank with like lasers being shot all around him.
Because usually we've seen all of the people in the past's idea of what they thought. We've hit all the dates at this point except for
Michigan J. Frog
and AI are the only ones we haven't hit yet.
Yeah,
AI we still have 3,994 years to go, I think.
Man, so I have some issues with the movie AI. It's almost perfect. But if those, like, light, those creatures of pure light or whatever from the future when the Earth is encrusted in ice find Haley Joel Osment, if they had also found Michigan J. Frog buried in the snow, that would have been genuinely my favorite movie of all time.
That if they went down to the bottom of the ocean...
If the end of AI, everything exactly the same.
Okay. Falls in the swimming pool.
Falls in the swimming pool. He eats the spinach and throws up.
Gigolo Joe.
They put him in the forest. He meets Gigolo Joe. They go after the Peter Pan lady or whatever, or Pinocchio lady. He gets buried in Coney Island. Mm-hmm. Should have been the end of the movie, but it's not. It fast forwards to the year 3,900.
You want...
And the creatures pull him out.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, you can spend one more day with your mom, but also Michigan J. Frog is going to be there.
Hello, my baby. Hello, my... The aliens, you just picture them going like, pack it up.
It would make the aliens crazy. No one can stand Michigan J. Frog. They'd still have to bury him again.
Oh, yeah, they'd be like, we'll see you in 4,000 more years with this. So... Do you have any unpopular opinions, Gabe Delahaye, at Gabe Delahaye, right?
Yep, that's me. Follow me on Twitter, Instagram.
So give people the what's the elevator pitch for what Gabe Delahaye's been up to since he moved to Los Angeles.
You
do things with Max.
I do things with Max. Max has recently moved out to Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. My friend, very funny comedian, Max Silvestri.
Not nuts about Max.
Well, you know, That's your opinion, Tom. Everyone's
because some people are going to be like, some people are going to be like, oh, I'm feeding into the thing is what I'm doing. I'm just trying to like.
No, I know you.
Max because people be like, oh, I like. No, I like Max a lot.
Yeah. No, that's right. You gotta build him up to tear him down. I don't know how you do it.
Just trying to get the discussion going of like
that. No, yeah, I'm
like,
on board.
Do you like
he
Max?
Sucks? Look, he sucks. He sucks. He's the worst.
Do you like Gabe or Max better? Which one do you?
Team Gabe. Team Max. We'll get some shirts printed. That's still happening, right? Team shirts?
Yeah.
I've been, selling pilots that I write in my room and then auditioning for stuff, and that's a thrill.
Mm-hmm.
And hanging out at Intelligentsia.
It's a good place to hang out.
That's not true. I don't go there.
You hang out at Umami Burger.
I love Umami Burger. Look, I love the Hollywood sign. I hike to the Hollywood sign every morning just to remind myself.
Which letter's your favorite?
The second O. Go up there every morning just to remind myself what it's all about.
So the first in wood.
That's exactly right.
Okay, because there are three O's.
Yeah, the second O.
So this. Okay, I'm just trying to picture where you're
like
at.
Feel like I was really clear.
I thought you were. I just want to make sure. Okay, I just needed to get a little visual thing. So do you lean against the W and look at the O?
All the time. I meditate, and then I head down to the Grove.
Okay.
And
down the hill to the Grove, covered in dirt.
Covered in dirt. Go to the Grove.
You go. Where do you go? The Barnes & Noble bathroom and wash up? or do you just go right into the
I just go
water?
Right in the fountain, right the dancing fountain.
Yeah. Hey, can someone turn the fountain on? Like, you get there early and I'm like, fountain's not on yet.
Yep. Bring my laptop, go right at the La Brea Tar Pits.
The dumbest thing. Has anyone written a screenplay at the La Brea Tar Pits? Somebody must
definitely
have.
There's no way that someone has not. Like,
yeah,
if you see a laptop in Los Angeles, it's got a screenplay on it. One time I was there just visiting when I still lived in New York, and I tweeted something about like being at a coffee shop and everyone working on their screenplay. It was not even that interesting of an observation, and someone got mad and was like, "You don't know the real Los Angeles. That's a stereotype." And I was like, I'm at the I'm at the coffee shop. They're all writing screenplays, as am I.
Because everybody. Yeah, no, that's all you see are people.
It's all you see. It's the best.
Nobody's writing screen. Some of us are writing outlines.
Yeah. Some of us just want coffee.
And some of us are writing treatments that we're going to go pitch.
Yeah. Treatments, outlines, decks.
Some of us are doing character bios.
Bibles.
Some of us are doing show Bibles. And that's a really offensive thing for you to say, Gabe, saying everybody's writing a screenplay. Look at this coffee shop right now. There's 48 people with each one has a laptop. This guy over here, he's doing a show Bible.
Retouching his headshot. Yeah.
This guy is Photoshopping his headshot. This guy is rewriting a script. He's not writing a script. He's rewriting it.
Yeah, he's doing punch-up.
Yeah. This guy's friend's script.
This guy's doing a packet.
This guy, yes. So it's not just people writing their scripts.
I apologize. Whoever that was, I apologize. Yeah,
the guy who I don't believe. The guy who I wouldn't want to know, but I brought to life.
Well, it's because now I live in Los Angeles, and I still stand by that idea, and I don't know what the Los Angeles is that he lives in. I would like to check it out.
Yeah, I don't know what that is. That might be near the airport. Like, he might be near the rental cars.
He's just at the buggy whip out by LAX.
Yeah. Yeah, look, I'm here. I'm at that weird rental car place that, like, some name that you're not sure if they're going to actually have a car.
Yeah. Look, for those of you who don't spend a lot of time in Los Angeles, Buggy Whip is a relatively deep-cut reference. It's a steakhouse by the airport. Mm-hmm. The exterior was featured in season one of Ray Donovan when John Voight is going out for celebration drinks with his other sons.
I believe it's also in Superbad.
Is Buggy Whip in Superbad?
I think it might be.
I want to go.
But then you'll get there and you'll just be like, why am I here?
Well, no. I've heard it's not very good. I have heard. And no offense. No, now you got a lawsuit from the Buggy Whip people. Yeah. But I've heard it's not very good.
Now, is that an unpopular? That seems like a pretty popular opinion.
That the Buggy Whip's not good?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's probably on Yelp.
Pretty accepted. I'm going to say, here's my unpopular opinion. This is the big one for me. And I'm only speaking for myself on this. I don't want to, don't lump Gabe in with
keep
this.
Keep me out of it. My whole career hangs in the balance of this opinion.
Don't. And the Dreyfus 100 is going strong, by the way. Well, actually, it's not going. If it was going strong, he would have called. Basically, we're looking for Richard Dreyfus to call up and talk for 5 minutes, and then we'll donate $100 to whatever charity he chooses. Dreyfus 100. I bet you it happens, right?
It's for sure going to happen.
This is what I would say. My unpopular opinion. Bryan Cranston is a terrible actor. And I know there's people who are like, what? Are you kidding? Look, he's, you know what it is? He's like our William Shatner now. If you think about him that way, he's like William Shatner. He's not a good actor. He's just huge. And everything he does is so big. And so, like, you watch Breaking Bad, that's some of the worst acting I've ever seen in my life. And people are like, oh, did you see Bryan Cranston? Wait, that's such a great performance. No, it's not. He's running around with a hat on playing a villain. That's not that hard to do. I could do, I'm the one who knocks. Like, that's, it's like, you say lines like that. You're goddamn right. Like, yeah, that's easy to. No!
That is pretty good.
Those are not hard
moments. Did you read for Walter White?
Look, Skyler, you just have to realize I'm trying to make this work. You're goddamn right.
He's terrible. He's a really bad actor. He's a ham bone, man. That dude chewing it up. Chewing that scene up on that show. And I would even go as far as say, I don't know if anybody on Breaking Bad could act. I think it's a show where no one could act. I think that dude found the right roles. That was like on The Sopranos. It's like, you know, you see AJ around. AJ ain't blowing the doors off showbiz. And look, maybe he doesn't want to. I don't know what the kid's deal is. I hope Robert Eiler is happy in whatever he's doing. I'm not trying to make it a thing where if you're not successful, you're a failure. Let's get back to the point at hand. The very successful Bryan Cranston is a very terrible actor. It's all face hair driven with him. It's always just like, well, in this movie, I'm, and he, like a Trumbo, when he's just like, it comes down with Trumbo to the mustache. And the bath, like he's in the bathtub. Everything in that movie is
so. I would say
so,
the bathtub was definitely like a third character in that movie.
He's like, he's William Shatner. He is straight up without any sort of qualifications. And look, I like William Shatner. I like Bryan Cranston.
You like the Brian, way wait, I like, you like Bryan Cranston?
The way I like William Shatner.
Oh, okay.
The
okay.
way I like William Shatner. I wouldn't. I don't think this dude can act as, can actually act this way. Like, did you see this thing? And but these people, everybody thinks he's a great actor. There was a thing I was watching on Huffington Post. I go there for, you know, when I want to read about the Golden State Warriors or the they write about one basketball team, the Golden State Warriors, and they write a fair amount about Donald Trump.
I just go there for the divorce section. Do they still have a divorce vertical?
Is there?
There was. I remember they launched a divorce vertical, which was a real bummer. It was just articles about divorce. Like up at the top, it'd be like news, sports, business, divorce.
I remember that. I don't know if that's still going on. Listen to this interview that...
What's it like to be in good
No, not Adam Devine hyping hotels.com or whatever.
Life insurance, obviously.
How did he, what did he do to pull the essence of Jack Black out? Did he, was that like witchcraft or like a spell? Because then
just in case anyone's listening, I'm a huge fan of Bryan Cranston, huge fan of Adam Devine, would love to work with either of them, would love to package them.
We all speak for ourselves.
With any of my projects, it would be huge to work with them.
So Larry David's show's coming back for a 9th season on HBO, Curb Your Enthusiasm. Yeah. You worked with Larry, of course, famously as Jerry's dentist. Any thoughts on maybe?
This is Bryan Cranston being interviewed by Carson Daly. And this is, where is this article? Oh, it's on Huffington Post. Bryan Cranston's Donald Trump impression is so perfect, it hurts. That's, an adult wrote that.
Yeah.
Bet you, every day you must be kicking yourself. You got off the video gum train.
I just keep a file on my desktop of all the things I would write about.
So it's like how to make it in America.
You have I have two folders on my desktop. Mm-hmm. I keep it pretty well organized. Mm-hmm. One's video gum. I put about 30,000 things in there a day that I would love to write about. And then the other folder is how to make it in America.
Fan fiction.
Again, you know, I would go in a second if Larry called and said, hey, I got this idea. I want to do this. Working on Seinfeld was like going to comedy camp.
And this dude can pontificate about acting like nobody's business. I've never heard, like, okay, let's hear more of it.
Immersed in their genius, Jerry and Larry and the rest of the cast were brilliant, and I got to be a part of that. You played Trumbo, you played Lyndon Johnson, you played Bob Mazur, real life historical figures. Anybody that you're thinking about or maybe would like to play?
I'd like to play Donald Trump at some point.
Really?
Oh, he's huge. He's this Shakespearean character, this serio-tragic comedic character. Who wouldn't want to take a bite out of that?
Are you working on your huge?
Huge. It's huge. Let me tell you something. This I can tell you.
Wow.
It is huge.
So he did the duck lip thing and then said, let me tell you, this is huge.
Like, it hurt.
It did hurt.
Definitely hurt.
Not because it was so perfect, though. That was maybe the most mediocre Donald Trump impression. It's huge. Let me tell you, it's huge. Everybody realize, duck face. Because the thing, look, I could do a better Donald Trump than this guy. But I'm not gonna. Enough is enough. We all have enough of him. Then listen to this moment. Listen to his Jerry Seinfeld impression.
Okay.
Down already.
Do I really?
I think it's like a caricature right now. Your Seinfeld's very good too, actually. Yeah. We'll put you on the spot, but it's very good.
No, I know. Jerry Seinfeld!
Yeah.
Oh! I'm offended as a comedian!
Good stuff. This movie is
good stuff.
That one definitely felt like he didn't want to do it.
Yeah.
And they were making him do it. Like something was going to happen to him if he didn't do it. Like they told him ahead of time, they're like, I'm going to say I hate to put you on the spot, but I don't. There's actually a very real threat hanging over your head, and you have to do your Jerry Seinfeld impersonation.
Jerry Seinfeld! Oh! Oh! That was... But he said your Jerry Seinfeld's very good, too. It's like, no, it's not.
It is sort of the hallmark of a...
Grimer!
Of a mediocre impersonation if like your me. First thing is you just say the name of the person
Jerry
you're impersonating.
Jerry Seinfeld! Donald Trump! Right?
Yeah.
And he's just, I'm telling you, everybody thinks he's a great actor. This guy's the worst. And you're going to realize it. This is my favorite part of this show. Right now there's people going, man, Tom's just nuts. It's Tom being Tom again, stirring it up. Maybe he probably doesn't even believe this. But you know what? You're going to be sitting there one night watching him in a thing, and then you're going to see it, and you're going to go, ooh, he really can act. He's huge. He's just huge. He's huge. You're going to be like, this dude is a ham, just hamming it up. His face, like, he picks the, I bet you at home he has, like, one of those he has his own face in one of those like pencil shaving thing, those like magnetic shaver things that you can like draw the facial hair on. When he tries to figure the rollout for a thing, he's just like, I'm wondering if for this, you know, I'm doing the new Power Rangers movie, and I'm wondering if Zordon should have maybe a Van Dyke. Maybe, let's see what that looks like. And he gets his like, what do you call those things, Mike? Wooly Willy? You know what it is. Etch-a-sketch.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, if I don't say it, Mike's got his dumb shirts for sale. Massa's Tavern. You sure want one of those shirts. apmike.bandcamp.com. I had to reorder them again. I'm not kidding.
How many have you sold now?
He has sold. How many? Trust me, Gabe Delahaye, at Gabe Delahaye. He's doing
gangbusters.
One person has made money off the best show, and it ain't me.
You should have got in on it. You should have gotten
the massive
royalty
shirts.
Fee.
Yeah, no, but Mike's just like, I'm out of 2XLs. Yes, Mike. All right, let me get the order together. Yeah, it wouldn't kill you to order some mediums while you're at it. Yes, Mike. We'll make sure that you're fully stocked. You better not be giving these things away, too. If I find out you're probably giving them to all the jurors. You're probably all going to sit there in the box wearing masses shirts. Your Honor, we find the defendant not guilty of drinking at Massa's Tavern, and I'd like to remedy that by giving him a free drink on the house at Massa's Tavern, apmike.bandcamp.com. But yeah, unpopular opinions, like this Bryan Cranston. I mean, he's fun, and Breaking Bad's the dumbest show in history also, by the way. Remember the episode when he killed 12 people at once. Remember that one?
Mm-hmm.
When he was sunk.
Huge fan.
Look out, Walter White. You're in trouble.
Huge fan of that episode. Huge fan of the show. If Vince Gilligan is listening, I would love to work with you.
Oh, that's true. Look, you're in L.A. now. This is New York. I come at these things New York style. You notice I don't take shots at Kimmy Schmidt or...
Law & Order SVU.
We don't take shots at Law & Order. I don't take shots at... what else shoots out here? I'm not taking shots.
Cash Cab.
I'm not taking shots at Impractical Jokers anymore.
Mm-mm. You can't. I remember John Daly, my favorite thing when I first got to L.A. that I noticed he would do when you were hanging out with him is he would give you his honest opinion about everything, whatever you were talking about. If you were talking about a show, just be like, that is the worst show I've ever seen. Uh-huh. I would kill to be on it.
Yeah.
And he meant, like, every time it was just, like, his straightforward, honest opinion. Yeah. And he's like, I would love to get a role on that show. And it was always the funniest, most honest thing that I've ever heard anyone do.
Yeah, him just owning. Well, it's like the Entourage movie.
Yes.
When it was just, like, everybody was just, like, it was just, like, a field day. But then the stories start coming out, just like, yeah, I actually auditioned for Entourage and didn't get it. I was supposed to play
Mark Cuban. Mark Cuban got my role.
He got my Entourage. I was supposed to do the Harry Knowles, Ain't It Cool News guy. Dana Gordon. Best show.
Hey, Tom.
Hey, who's this?
This is Jesse from Las Vegas.
Jesse? From Las Vegas. What's going on in Las Vegas now? You're here with me and Gabe Delahaye. What's going on?
Hi, Gabe.
Hi, Jesse.
I'm a big fan.
Oh, thank you.
Who isn't, though? I gotta say, though, Gabe is seriously funny.
I think the thing that's most exciting for your listeners is that they don't know who I am and there's no way to find out much more about me.
This is, first of all, you go to at Gabe Delahaye.
That's true.
Secondly, well, let me see what Jesse wants first.
Yeah, sorry, Jesse.
What's up, Jesse?
Well, I just have one for the topic.
What do you got?
Batman is a terrible character.
Batman is a terrible character. Not even that these Batman... Do you dislike the Batman movies?
I dislike the movies, and despite having once been a big fan of the comics, I think he's kind of useless as a comic book character as well.
Why is that?
His origin is even cornier than most comic book characters from his era.
Because he got his parents got mowed down.
Right. Well, yeah, I mean that. That part's
by a hoodlum, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Parents got mowed down by a hoodlum outside a theater, a show. They were seeing.
Right.
They were seeing that Jesse Tyler Ferguson play, where he plays all the characters in it, and they were leaving it, and then this hoodlum jumped out. Actually, if they were seeing that play, Bruce Wayne's father probably would have grabbed the gun and shot himself.
Yeah.
After seeing that play.
They were seeing Blue Man Group. Yours was better. Yours was better. I'm sorry.
That's a run. No.
How? Wait, can I ask a question, Jesse?
Uh-huh.
Why do you think that it's, like, I can understand thinking that it is a corny origin story, but is it that much cornier than being bit by a magic spider or by, like, an alien giving you a magic ring? Or any of the other origin stories of superhero characters?
The main thing I find corny about Batman's origin is the whole thing where he keyed in on bats and the whole idea that criminals are a superstitious and cowardly lot. Mm-hmm. Like, that never rang true for me even as a little kid. I was like, really? Criminals are afraid of a bat? A guy dressed like a bat is that terrifying to them.
So wait, you wouldn't be scared of that though? I would be scared.
Not
if like a Kevlar bat started punching you in the face.
Yeah, if a dude showed up, if some dude jumped down and had a cape that like slowed his fall, I would be terrified. And then he just came at me hard, just like spun around, did like a kick right to my stomach, and I'm like, ooh. Ooh, 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 and then the eyes lit up in the thing because it's dark. All of a sudden, he's like, "Weep!"
Yeah,
I would be scared. Well, I think you're not being fair to that, Jesse.
Well, okay, I would be afraid of the physical violence.
Yeah,
but just the image of the bat itself. There's like all this stuff in the comics about how terrifying, like primally terrifying, a bat is to people. That I just never really bought.
Now, have you ever encountered a real bat?
Yeah.
Because I had a bat in my kitchen.
It's rough.
And it was a nightmare.
So have you ever been near a street light at night in the summer, and then suddenly it's dark out, and suddenly this thing goes whoa through the, like it's making big swoops and stuff. And people, that's a bat. And you're just like, I don't want that thing getting in my head or in my hair.
No.
To be fair, we're really debunking your unpopular opinion when you actually did exactly what you were supposed to do.
Yes.
So I apologize. That's on me.
Don't apologize. I think
Jesse, I'm so sorry.
No. It's fine. I mean,
I just want you to have to make sure this opinion holds water for you, and that you're not just coming up with one to just have one.
Oh no, I'm not just trying to be a contrarian.
Look.
I did actually really like the character when I was younger, and as I get older, he becomes less and less interesting to me, to the point now that I wish that I wish they were banned from making new Batman movies for the remainder of my lifetime.
Wait, you don't want... Who would do the banning on that?
Trump. If Trump
wins. Yeah, Trump, sure.
He'd be like, we're going to take a break on these... Well, I should let Bryan Cranston do it if I'm going to... I can't do the... I lost it. After hearing him do the voice, I can't do it anymore.
I did like when that guy called in earlier and said that he turned off the convention to watch the show, but didn't qualify it at all, and then said he wanted pandas to go extinct.
Yes.
He was like, I'm just watching the convention anyways, moving on. Like, he didn't say that he was watching it.
Oh, these pandas. Oh. Pandas. I will say this to you, caller.
Jesse.
Jesse. Mm-hmm. Look, I think Batman's a little boring, right?
Yeah.
He's just boring. He's always like, he was irked.
Yeah.
But there's not even a little part of you, Jesse, that wants to see Batman in Suicide Squad.
Not even a little.
You don't want to see Batman squaring off with Deadshot and Harley Quinn and
Will Smith.
Boomerang.
Is he Deadshot?
Is Will Smith Deadshot? Okay. Boomerang and all the rest. You don't want
to
see?
I'm not. My wife kind of wants to see it, so I'm probably going to go see it, but I'm not excited for it at all.
You're not excited?
Especially not for Jared Leto.
Why not? He looks like what the Joker would look like. That's actually what the Joker would look like. Some bad Ed Hardy dude.
Yeah.
Right? With just tattoos on his
forehead. The Joker would be super annoying in real life.
Yeah. I think this is...
It might be the best casting of the Joker.
Really? I can't wait to see this guy finally crack the Joker.
Yeah.
There was a guy at this comic book thing I went to a couple weeks ago, dressed as Jack Nicholson's Joker, but he was just wearing a Jack Nicholson Joker mask and the costume. It's like, well, that's not... It's like, that's... You're trick-or-treating.
Wait, where did you see this guy?
Oh, at a comic book. I went to a comic book convention.
At
a municipal ice hockey rink.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a fun day. Fun day. Well, Jesse, thank you so much.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to play a quick record, and then we'll be back with more Gabe Delahaye, more Best Show, more Dreyfus 100. Well, we couldn't have less of it, because there's with the Dreyfus 100, which is, I'll pay $100 to Richard Dreyfus's, the charity of his choice, if he calls and talks for 5 minutes. Not just tonight, at any point. He might be, I'm not expecting him to just be at home. Being like, fine, I'll call.
Here's my prediction is that it will happen, mm-hmm. and somehow you will deeply regret it. Like, it'll happen, but the 5 minute phone call will be.
So what do you want?
He will just ruin you.
You want to talk about Jaws?
Mr. Holland's Opus. Do you have questions for him about Mr. Holland's Opus?
I would ask about Mr. Holland's Opus.
Yeah, me too.
We're going to listen to a record by Def Wish. This is a Sub Pop single, came out a year or so ago. This song's called Ragic Beach. Back with more Best Show in a couple minutes. Def Wish, from their single on Sub Pop, came out 2 years ago. They are great. And the Best Show is great. I like it. The name of that song was Ragic Beach, from their single. Can't go wrong with any of it. All right, let's go back to the phones. We are talking about unpopular opinions. And seeing if Richard Dreyfus will call up at some point. Best Show.
Hey, Tom, how's it going?
Good, good.
Good. This is Sean out in Westbridge, loving the show tonight.
Oh, thanks, Sean. Thanks. It's a fun. We're having fun.
You know, it's summer. It's I don't know. I love the show, and I always feel like in the summer it's kind of I don't know. The show's a little more free and easy.
You think it's a little more free and easy? Like it's just a funner.
I think it is. Do you feel like that?
I think sometimes it could be more fun. Yeah.
Yeah, I like it.
Good.
Hey, speaking of fun, did you see Ghostbusters?
I did not see it yet, no.
No, is it Ghostbusters or is it Ghostbusters 2, the one that's out now with the female cast?
It's just Ghostbusters.
It is just called Ghostbusters, okay.
Yes, yes.
I haven't seen it. I haven't seen it.
You haven't seen it? Are you going to check it out?
Well, I love the first one,
mm-hmm.
but even that one's tainted for me because of the whole Huey Lewis R.P. Jr. lawsuit, you know?
Okay, so that made it tainted.
Oh, totally, yeah. You know, That was my first experience with not knowing if I could trust anybody.
Because Ray Parker Jr.
may or may not have lifted, you know, that his song from, what was it, The Power of Love? No, it was...
I Want a New Drug.
I Want a New Drug, yeah. Mm-hmm.
For the Ghostbusters
exactly.
Theme. Yeah. So to you, it's that tainted the whole thing.
Yeah, it cast a pall over the whole franchise, to be honest.
Well, I mean, I guess that's your take on it.
It is, and I just told it to you.
Yeah, and I just heard it.
Well said.
Mm-hmm.
Ball's in my court, I guess, right?
I think I did bat it back to you, yeah.
Sounds like it is. Mm-hmm. Going to bat something to you right now.
All right, I'm ready.
If you don't mind.
I'm ready to bat it right back to you.
Got your racket at the ready?
I do. Okay. I got a bat.
I just have a lowly tennis racket. I'm going to serve it up. Here it comes. You ready?
Okay.
There's going to be a Warriors TV show. See that?
The Warriors, the movie.
Yes.
Based on the New York City street gangs. And it's going to be a series. I guess they are taking that and I'm not sure if it's updated or if it takes place back in the 70s. I don't know what the...
I heard it takes place in the 90s of all times.
Hmm.
And Spoon is doing the soundtrack for it. Like, they're doing the theme song for it.
Spoon? The band Spoon?
Yes, yeah.
Like the rock band?
Exactly, yeah. They've already written and recorded a song called Warriors Come Out and Play.
Okay. That sounds... I would like to hear that. I'm a fan of Spoon.
Guess what the main instrument in the song is?
The... bottles?
Yep, three of them.
Mm-hmm. Like three bottles clanking together?
Each guy plays three, yeah.
Each guy in Spoon
with
plays
each hand,
three.
So there's a lot of them.
Okay, so... Is it just, but there's other instruments on the song?
No.
It's the band, everyone in Spoon is playing three bottles.
They are. It's basically, you know, like, I've only got a couple here, but it's basically, Warriors, come out and play, hey. Warriors, come out and play, hey. Warriors, come out and play, hey. Hey, are you gonna pay for that? What for?
Okay, wow. That's very unspoon-like, I have
right?
to say.
Yeah, it's different. It's a whole different vibe.
Mm-hmm. That's very different than what you expect from Spoon, yeah.
It sure is. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, I was lighting my cigarette, and I had like a, you know how like sometimes like water goes down the wrong pipe?
Sure.
My smoke went down the wrong pipe.
Oh, okay. I'm not a smoker, so I'm not familiar.
Oh, you gotta smoke.
You gotta smoke.
It's so much fun.
Well, that's an unpopular opinion.
Come on, please smoke with me someday.
No, I'm not gonna smoke.
Well, if you did smoke, what brand would you smoke? You sound like a Terryton man.
Huh. Portland? Pall Mall, is that a brand?
Oh, yes. Tasty.
Tasty? Like what?
Good flavor.
You know how
cigarette ads always talk about the flavor?
Yeah.
It's true.
Like, what is the flavor of, like, a Pall Mall?
Just good smoke. Like, thick smoke.
So it's smoke flavor.
Yeah, their smoke is thicker, and, like, Merit cigarettes?
Mm-hmm.
Their smoke was very thin. Thin smoke.
I didn't know that there were different thicknesses of smoke.
Hey, speaking of smoking?
Yeah.
Did you see the Frank Zappa documentary? I saw it the other day.
I have not seen it yet.
He smokes in, like, in every scene.
Zappa.
It's sick. He turns gray over the course of it.
From smoking so much.
Yes. And I'll tell you what. Never really heard much of his music before, ever.
Mm-hmm.
But I got to the theater a little early, and they were playing his music beforehand. And then as I was watching it, there was a lot of music in the movie, too. And I don't know if you know his music very well, but it's like if music was constantly telling you how dumb you are.
That's what Frank Zappa sounds like.
I think so, right?
Okay, so it's like music that makes you feel dumb.
Exactly, yeah, yeah. Hmm. And at one point, I honestly thought his guitar was going to smash itself out of spite.
Like it was going to jump off of his strap. Yeah, strap and smash itself.
Yes.
Hmm.
Because his guitar couldn't be involved in something like that. His guitar was above the audience also.
So his guitar would give up?
Yes.
Like?
Because its music was wasted on the dumb audience.
So the guitar is sentient.
Oh, I like this.
Would his guitar be able to talk?
Oh, I like this too. This is like a Roger Waters album, a kernel of an idea for a Roger Waters concept album.
Like maybe.
What else could happen? Oh, could I chime in with something, please?
Yeah, sure.
I think at some point in the story that we're writing, rock music should be outlawed in the future.
Oh, okay.
Never been done before.
Mm-hmm. Well, sure it has. It's been done plenty of times.
Oh, by who?
Styx did it with Kilroy Was Here.
Hmm.
Which was a fun thing because, you know, they would act the whole thing out, this album, Kilroy Was Here. And then then at the end, who would you rather hear some good old fashioned rock and roll from than the guys in America's top prog band?
Well, let me think. I'm 14 years old. I go to see Styx.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really into, like, Styx and Foreigner and, you know, like, hard rock kind of mm-hmm. stuff. I'm into Van Halen. I want to hear them do, like, Johnny Be Good or a Coaster song.
But at the beginning, they do a whole lot of acting.
See, I love when rock bands act. I wish more bands would act.
So you would have wanted to see Styx do a play.
Oh, yeah, without music. I mean, I already know they can play. It's the same thing with, like, let me think. Like, I was always disappointed that Fugazi didn't act more during their shows.
Really?
Yeah.
You'd want to see them do some straight-up acting.
Exactly. Have someone throw some sides up there and have them go.
Like, what would they do? Like a dramatic play?
Oh, you know, like, I don't know, maybe something from St. Elsewhere?
Like an episode of
MASH?
So you'd want to go to a Fugazi show and then see them doing an episode of MASH.
I sure would, yeah. Like, I could totally see, Joe Lally as Colonel Flagg.
So, but there's only four guys in Fugazi. I think that's maybe a wasted character. Okay, there's not enough to go. There's more characters than people in the band.
Well, they could double up, you know. Brendan could play Klinger, and he could also play Trapper John. I'm just spitballing this. I feel like I've gotten so far off topic, Tom.
Well, okay. Well, let's pull it back.
Well, speaking of, you know, of music from the past, I was thinking about this the other day. Do you know that song Midnight Confessions? Who was that, The Grassroots?
Yes, I believe it was The Grassroots.
Do you remember how the song went? It was like, in my midnight confessions, when I tell the world that I love you.
Yeah.
You know that?
Mm-hmm.
You know what the original chorus was? Right?
Of Midnight Confessions? No, I don't.
It was, in my midnight confessions, when I tell the world I'm D.B. Cooper.
Hold on a second. What does that mean? You tell
the singer was D.B. Cooper.
The singer of The Grassroots.
He was, yeah.
So,
Rick Stevens.
because that song came out in around the time of the D.B. Cooper heist when, when what did he do, parachute out of a plane with money?
Do I have to take you to D.B. Cooper school? Is that what you're telling me?
I'm sorry I don't have it. I'm not saying it off the top.
No apology could be too great, Tom. Mm-hmm.
No, I'm so
I
sorry.
I love that one.
I'm so sorry.
My best singer.
Yeah, well, it sure seems to fit the bill whenever you need it.
Namaste.
Okay, well, I had no idea that that's what that song was about. Yeah. Is that why you called?
I just called to chat with you. Are you watching the RNC convention?
I've caught little pieces of it here and there.
I'll tell you, this is the best thing to happen in Cleveland since that movie where Charlie Sheen wears those cool sunglasses.
Major League?
What's it called?
Major League.
Oh, I'm thinking of Platoon then.
No, that why would that have anything to do with Cleveland?
Now I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What?
Hey, Rance Priebus.
Mm-hmm.
They keep saying that name, and I keep thinking it's a car. It's a guy, isn't it?
It's not a car.
It's a guy. Is it a guy?
It's a guy.
How old is he?
I'm not exactly sure. I'm assuming he's older.
Okay. It sounds like an old name. Or a name of a new car. I don't know. They're having a lot of fun out there, though.
You mean, like, do you guys have any 2016 Lance Priebuses?
Exactly, yeah.
I'm looking for one in blue.
What kind of interior is it?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I use my Bluetooth in this Rance Priebus?
Yeah, okay.
When are the 2017 Priebuses coming out? What kind of interior might they have?
Is it Lance or Rance?
I think it's Rance.
Rance, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could picture. It does sound like a car,
doesn't it? Who do you think you might vote for? I know that's something. The two things you don't ask people: you don't ask a woman how old she is, and you don't ask someone who they're mm-hmm. voting for.
Yeah, but you asked.
Are you mad?
I'm still undecided right now.
Okay,
I'm still undecided.
Well, I think Trump seems like he'll really stick with this if he gets elected. You know, I think he's going to roll with whatever happens, mm-hmm. swallow his pride, and do what's best for the country.
Mm-hmm. You think he's got that stick-to-it-ness?
I sure do. You know, uh-huh. I mean, sure, they're saying he's a tantrum-prone white supremacist exhibiting the most extreme symptoms of what psychologists are now calling high-level sociopathic narcissism on performance-enhancing drugs. But you can't argue with his business success, right?
Yeah, I mean, I guess he's a big.
He's making a lot of money.
Yeah, I mean, I guess he's done pretty well with a lot of different endeavors. Like,
sure has. I'll tell you who I was very impressed with last night.
Who's that?
Giuliani.
Mm-hmm.
Very passionate.
You like his passion.
I did, you know, and I heard that he had to be convinced not to bring out a life-size Obama doll, put it over his knee, and spank it.
That they had to convince him not to do that.
Not to do it, yeah.
Uh-huh.
And they start spanking and saying, you've been very bad.
Yeah, that would have been, I don't know if that's the message that they would have wanted put forth.
Maybe not.
I don't know. I have not been watching a whole lot of it.
You know who I wish was running after his speech tonight?
Who's that?
Mitch McConnell. That guy's a rock star.
You like him.
I love him. I think he's great. Uh-huh. I think he rules.
You like his glasses?
I love everything about him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
He's a rock star.
He is, yeah. I wish he'd wear T-shirts.
You think he'd fill out a T-shirt pretty well?
I just like to see him in a T-shirt being cash.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. Casual Mitch.
Yeah, like just like a... Like a, like a, would he cut the sleeves off of it?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Maybe a half shirt.
Like he's a football player.
Exactly, yeah. Seems like he might be out there on the gridiron at some point, right?
Yeah, like he was in Revenge of the Nerds.
That's right.
Yeah, I think he could pull that look off.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
You know, I was disappointed in one thing last night, and I'm not just talking about her. I thought her speech was great. I was surprised that Melania that she wore that metallic bikini. I thought that was kind of, you know, in poor taste.
No, wait, she last night?
Yes.
She did not wear a metallic bikini.
Oh, wait. Oh, you're right. You're right. At some point I changed channels and I was watching Shout After Dark, which is now called Shout Erotique. You know, kind of their late night programming.
I didn't know that they changed the name.
Yes, yeah, it's way more high class now. Anyway, they were showing this film called Hootie and the Blow J-O-B.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay. It's the story of a who likes to with until in a giant aquarium tank.
I had to bleep all of that.
All of it, really?
Almost all of it.
Oh, I feel like only like 60% of it was dirty.
No, I had to err on the side of caution.
Okay, that's fair enough.
I think people heard you say aquarium tank.
Yes, yeah, that's where a lot of it happened. The erotic shenanigans. Anyway, Rich Little Jr. is in that movie. He's great.
Rich Little's son.
Exactly, yeah, yeah.
He
does this amazing impression of his father not doing impressions.
So Rich Little Jr. does an impression of Rich Little
Senior
in downtime.
Exactly, yeah.
What
might
would
only
that
be
even,
of interest to the littles?
What would that even be?
Well, like, wonder what time that Redskins game is on today. Honey, are we having chicken tonight?
So this is Rich Little.
Rich Jr., could you bring me that magazine?
This is your impression.
Thanks, son.
This is you doing an impression of Rich Little Jr. doing an impression of his father not doing an impression.
Yeah, you got it, Tom.
Oh, thank you there, Sean.
Namaste. You know, you do fun impressions.
Well, I try sometimes.
Oh, come on. It's my favorite part of the show.
Oh, that's nice of you to say.
I love it. All my buddies love it, too. It's their favorite part.
Oh, okay. That's I appreciate hearing that, but I...
Please do one.
Of?
Please.
What? What? An impression of what?
Well, let me think. How about... What about that Bela Lugosi scene in the movie Ed Wood? I bet you would do that great.
Oh, I mean, other people.
Please.
I've heard people. That's one of my favorite movies.
See, I knew it. I could feel it.
Okay, so you want me to do that?
Please, yeah. Just a part of it.
Okay, I mean, I don't really, like a Bela Lugosi impression. Huh.
I bet you can do it really well.
Mm-hmm. What would it be? It would be like 20 years ago. Like that part of the thing where he's like,
yes,
my dear Professor Strausky. That scene?
That's it, yes, yes.
20 years ago, I was banned from my homeland. Hunted, despised, living like an animal. The jungle is my home, and I shall show the world that I can be its master.
You're playing the movie.
No, I'm not. That was
you are.
That was no. That was not very good.
Oh my God, you're so good. Would you do one more thing for me, please?
What?
Same thing, mm-hmm. But Bela Lugosi. Doing capsule reviews of the Monkees albums, please.
Okay, let me see what this would be.
Just the first three.
The first Monkees album is called The Monkees, self-titled. It is the peak of Don Kirshner's iron grip on the Monkees. Mike Nesmith had one song, Papa Jean's Blues, and early pressings misspelled. Jeans! The second album, More of the Monkees, continued Kirshner's reign. This album featured I'm a Believer! The third Monkees album was Headquarters, and the Monkees were playing all the instruments!
Stop, please! It's too scary!
Scary?
Yeah! Oh, my God! Oh, my God, that was frightening.
How was that fright?
It was like the wolf man was here with me.
He was not the wolf man.
He wasn't?
No.
Who was he?
He was Dracula.
Oh, you're right. Okay, that makes sense then. Hey, okay. Tom.
Was he Wolfman? I don't know if he was a Wolfman.
I don't know. I get all those guys mixed up. Can I ask you a question?
Yeah, go ahead.
What are your 10 least favorite motorcycles?
What? I don't know what that is. My 10... That's a stupid question. I'm sorry.
What? How dare you? You can't treat me like that.
What? But I can't feel that that's a stupid question?
Yeah. You'd
what?
Be nothing without guys like me, and you know it.
Okay, and why is that?
Well, look, I'm out here in the Sharpling army.
Mm-hmm.
I listen to your podcasts. We, the collective we buy your concert tickets, your T-shirts, your new Live at Third Man vinyl LP that just came out last mm-hmm. week.
Yeah, which is available, I think, at thirdmanrecords.com.
I think I read that, yes.
Yeah. Good Pitchfork review.
What did you get, like a... Let me guess, a 7.8 that reads like an 8.6?
Something like that. I think that feels about right.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Look, I'm still mad at you.
Oh, all right. Why are you mad?
Because I think you're ungrateful. You're an
ingrate.
You're an ingrate.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you one thing.
What?
If I wasn't about to go on a top secret submarine mission right now, I'd come over there and kick your ass all the way up Mount Newbridge.
What are you doing?
Excuse me?
You're going on a submarine?
Yeah. Why? Yeah, I'm a colonel in the Navy here in Port Newbridge. We think there's this rogue Russian sub off the coast.
Uh-huh.
Little bastard's been out there since like 86 or something.
Uh-huh.
Oh. Let's see what's going on here. A lot of mystery down here. Never get tired of it.
How deep are you?
Oh, no.
What?
Oh, no, we're going too fast. The sub's caught fire! How can we be on fire and be so wet on the outside at the same time?
I don't know how that works.
Oh, my God, tell my wife and my three mistresses I love them. Ah! Tell them I didn't specify an order in which to tell them of my love.
Goodness. Oh. What do you think about that, Mike? Chilling, exactly. I agree. Is Gabe Dele, did he leave? Did Gabe leave? He left. Dudio, Mike, and Gabe left. Well, Mike's still here. Thank goodness. Does Chris want to come in? Is Dudio still gone? Oh, good. You want to sit? Is there headphones for Chris? You want to wear those? Chris, right?
Yeah.
Chris, of course. I know it's Chris. I'm not. You know what it is? I'm out here. I've got 150 things bouncing around in my head. And suddenly I'm like, I'm 99.9% sure it's Chris. And I'm just like, what if it's not? Gabe?
Tom.
There you go, Gabe. How's that?
That sounds good to me.
So, I've been thinking about this. First of all, we have not heard from Richard Dreyfuss, I'm assuming. No? Nothing? Radio silence from Richard Dreyfuss? Secondly, what do you think about this, Gabe? You try this on for size. You know that song Common People by Pulp?
Yes.
What if that was the song? I'm going to work on this. First of all, I'm going to say this straight up. Anybody steals this, I'm going to smash into oblivion. What if that was the song that, like, I set? Let me look at the lyrics for Common People. Hold on. Common People lyrics. What if I did, like, a thing to, like, Pokemon Go? To like that, right? Because
okay.
because there's that one part in it where it could go like, you know, the one part in the song when he's just like, when he's like, you know, because it could be like, got to catch them all, right?
I feel like you should go with Sorted for Ease and Whiz, but just have it be like Sorted for Zingbats and Goomfarbs or whatever the, yeah. whatever those Pokemon like, are called.
Like, rent a flat above a shop, cut your hair and get a job. Because it could just be like, there's a war, there's a Squirtle going by, and a Butterfree in the sky, right?
I'm on board. This is great.
Kaka, a Kakuna rolling down, there's a Pidgey poking round, right?
And it's catchy, which is nice.
Yeah. And a Spearow. Over there, Pikachu is...
Pikachu you gotta save for the chorus, I feel like, cause that's really gonna get people.
And you catch them all, cause I'm gonna go for the... Right? What
mm-hmm,
would it be
that's
there?
Right.
The Pika... Something. There's something here with this. I think I'm gonna crack this week. Dudio?
Yeah.
What do you think about this? I like it. I like it. There's a Squirtle walking by, and there's Pidgeot in the sky, right?
Yeah, this is great. This is A++, no notes.
Yeah. And a Vulpix dancing round. There's a Paris on the ground, and a Psyduck, and, right? And you can catch them all, so you want to go with the... Pokey, peep. They're not people, though, right?
No.
You want to go with the Pokemon?
Go.
You want to go wherever Pokemon go? Because it's nothing. Because there goes Slowbro and Slowpoke, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Seal.
Yep.
I'm telling you. Right? It'd be like, I went to the supermarket, and then I saw Ponya. No, I don't know what the name of that one is. I can't even say it. I want to go to the supermarket, and I saw Tentacool in the aisle. Right? I think.
You did it.
I'm going to be so rich when this thing. First of all, can someone get in touch with... Jarvis Crocker, and see if we can get the... I guess Weird Al usually asks the people before he does. I'm not asking on this. I'm not Weird Al. I'm just taking it, and we'll give him a songwriting. We'll give him a music.
We'll give him $100 million. Yeah. He'll be satisfied with that.
When this comes
that.
In. Yeah, exactly. I'm telling you, this is a hit. I'm going to crack this and then go into a studio and record this and put it up. And then, I like somebody put on Twitter, Tom naming an impressive amount of Pokemons right now. Yeah, I'm looking at a website. like that's off the top of my head. The only ones I know are Pikachu and Snorlax. The only two I know. And now I know plenty. Mr. Mime, Starmie, Seeking, Seedra. This is good. I got this figured out. Does anybody know, where's a studio I can record this? Electric Ladyland? Should I go there and do it? This is where Jimi Hendrix recorded, right? Wouldn't that be great if this is where, like, and then now I'm in the studio. that he did that. Like, the man, there's so many ghosts in this place. Like, I feel
about to be one more ghost.
I feel the ghosts. Like, there's just the history of this place. All right, take two. I want a Pikachu. It's just like, oh man, can't you just feel this? The spirits in the air here. Just, it's like, it just creates a real vibe. Snorlax going down the street. Like, oh, engineer just, like, is that guy listening? Does he have earbuds in?
No, he's like, I think it is worth it that you are paying $10,000 an hour out of your own pocket.
Like, you're aware of the current state of the music business, aren't you? Yeah, I am. Here's my credit card. Run it. Another one? Oh, here's another credit card. Run this one. Oh, that one's maxed out too. Oh, well, here's another. Here's my final credit card. I guess you guys take Discover, right? You get down to the lowly Discover card.
Oof, it's rough.
Best show.
Hello.
Hello. To whom am I speaking?
This is Roxy in Los Angeles, also in the greatest city ever.
Greatest city on earth.
Greatest city on earth, hands down.
Now, for people who don't know, Roxy, she's in what? She's one of the she calls the show on and off, and she's a friend of the show. Was that fair to say?
Yeah, I'm a friend of the show. We're buds.
And she, so you and the show are buds?
Yeah, me and the show are buds.
Kind buds, right?
Kind buds.
And for people who don't know, Roxy went on a date with a dude.
Yeah.
I paid for the date. She went on a date with a dude named Doug and
David. Nice.
And they went to see Dirty Grandpa. And I still believe that there's. What, you know, who knows? Look, I'm not going to bring this up anymore. But I'll say this. If you want me to make a love connection for you, Best Show listeners, I'll make it. I'll pay for the date. Like, not for the... I'll pay $30. I'll pay for you guys to go to the movies. But if this thing goes like Cake said, the distance, right?
Killer Cake reference.
Yeah. Thanks, man.
Yeah.
I tried with that. If it goes a distance, I get to design your wedding cake and figure out what goes on top of it. And you have to
only hope that something in my life and David's life goes so terribly wrong that we end up marrying each other and getting this Dirty Grandpa wedding cake.
Or I get to do two wedding cakes when you two find the other person, right?
Wait. What? But how would that have to do anything?
Because I'm going to pair you off with new people. And you'll both go on a date the same night across from each other in the same restaurant.
Yeah.
No, not a double date. You'll both be at separate tables. Right?
Competing.
Dates. I think we should do a double date.
You know what's great about this, Roxy? You sound a little. You sound a little sad thinking of Doug on a date.
David!
This is going to happen. This Dirty Grandpa wedding cake is going to happen. It's going to be a marzipan Aubrey Plaza in her bikini making whoopee with a white fudge Robert De Niro.
Shirtless.
Shirtless, Robert. It's gonna be like a little. It's gonna be like a little, like a little, a little diorama on top of like three. It'll be a triptych. Is that how you say it?
Mm-hmm.
Three scenes. One, the bod contest. So there'll be a little a Zac Efron and a Dirty Grandpa.
That's part of the film, by the way.
The making whoopee scene with Aubrey Plaza. And then the third scene is going to be a Jason Mantzoukas and Adam Pally made out of what would that be? What's a fun dessert that they can make a topping out of? A little cake topper?
What's
like fondant?
Gelato. Yeah,
fondant.
I want them to melt. I want you have to eat Adam Pally and Zooks real fast before, because then it's an ice cream cake.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. I would love a wedding ice cream cake, actually. I actually always joke that when I get married, that's what I want.
And you will. You will get it. So what do I owe the pleasure of this call, Roxy?
Well, I had one for the topic, and I also have a little story for you that involves Pokemon Go.
Unpopular. First of all, am I saying it wrong? I say Pokemon.
Pokemon? I think it doesn't matter.
How is it Pokemon?
Pokemon?
Are you playing Pokemon Go, Roxy?
Hell no. I'm 30 years old. I'm not playing Pokemon Go.
Look, I know people who are playing it who are having the time of their life. I'm not going to judge them.
Good for them.
Yeah, look.
I will judge them.
Everybody's trying. What if somebody said to you, "Do opening a yoga school? That's stupid."
I don't know.
I stand by my Pokemon Go brothers and sisters.
I loved it.
It's not for me.
It's not for me either.
I stand by them, though. I stand
by them.
I love
your song, though.
Yeah, that's going to be the hit. I got to get that going. I got
to
get some.
Hey,
Mike, can you see? I'm not joking about this. Can you seriously see about booking 4 days of studio time at Electric Ladyland? And give them, I'm sure you have my credit card already. So one way or another, you probably got it. And so give them that credit card to hold the studio time. Yeah, that's going to be my future. So what do you have for unpopular opinions, Roxy?
Radiohead's the worst.
Radiohead's the worst. Well, you're going to get the Dudio. Dudio loves Radiohead.
I don't think I've ever been on. Maybe there's been like 5 dates I've been on where a guy didn't mansplain Radiohead to me
out
at me. Why? No. I'm serious. You tell people you don't like Radiohead, and they just lose their minds. They get so upset.
Did I lose my mind? Did I just lose my mind? No.
No. Look. Most. I said most. Most.
You don't like that Radiohead song. You don't like that one?
No.
You don't like that one?
No.
From a great height. You don't like that one? You sure?
No.
Do you like Radiohead now?
Yeah. What about Come Police Arrest This Man? You don't like that song?
Do you like Radiohead now?
Yeah.
No.
You don't like boom, 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 boom. I might be wrong. Boom, 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 boom. Ask Gabe.
Do you like Radiohead now?
No.
What about the song when he goes, well, it looks like the bottom. That one.
That
right?
One's got to get you.
Right? That one? You don't like that one? He's like,
may I ask a question?
Gabe, the floor is yours.
How does Radiohead come up on every single date you go on?
Yes. Are you dating in a record store?
On every first date?
Yeah.
I feel like when I'm like dating somebody, it like eventually comes up that I don't like Radiohead, and then there's like a fight about not liking Radiohead, and it's like, well, you have to listen to this one album or this one song. It's just, I've listened to a lot of Radiohead. I'm just not a fan, and I don't like when people push them on me. I don't like when anyone pushes anything on me, specifically this band.
Look, I liked Radiohead just fine, and then they started doing that. Suddenly, they thought they were the dance band. They could do grooves, the most grooveless band. Suddenly, I think we're gonna stop writing songs and just do grooves. Then I was like, yeah, I'm out. And they're like, don't worry, we got a second drummer. Oh, okay. Who'd you get? The guy from Portishead. Oh boy. Well, that'll be a real funk fest going down. And then I checked out. But I don't care. Why don't you just go, Eh, who cares when a guy says that? Eh, who cares?
I do, and then they get very up in arms about why say that.
Well, who do you like that that these guys on these dates don't like when you come back? What do they just go, I don't like that?
Nothing, because everything I like is good.
Well, there you go. There's nothing where you're just like, well, I like this, and then they go, oh, brother. Put Dougie on.
David, here you go.
David.
Hi, this is Doug.
Hi, Doug.
How's it going, Tom?
What's something that Roxy likes that you don't like?
Smoking weed.
There you go. So, on a date, the guy will be talking all about radio amnesiac.
Has she been like, you got to try this weed? Has she been like pushing different kinds of weed on you?
Exactly. No, see, look.
You need a body high.
It's a peanut butter cup. No, look. No, it's just like the candy bar, but it's got weed in it. No, just try one. Just try one. No, it's like a peanut butter cup.
You like weed now?
She did peer pressure me into smoking before Dirty Grandpa. Mm-hmm. So, in a sense.
But that was like, I had to. I didn't really have a choice. You had to be high to watch that film.
I didn't have a choice.
He was on Robitussin and...
Robitussin. That's great. So you were in the parking lot of... You're at the Arc. Yeah. So I'm picturing this. You're out in front of like that cooking school, drinking across from the Arc Light. You're in front of the cooking school by those glow in the dark rocks, like the striped rocks.
Yeah.
I feel like if you think of a date as a test, you guys really contaminated the data.
Totally.
Here, smoke this pot.
One of you is high out of your mind. The other one's on Robitussin.
No, we were both high, and he was on Robitussin.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the other one's listening to King of Limbs.
Oh, it was Sudafed, excuse me, not Robitussin.
All right.
Technically, we put that candy money towards it.
Towards Robit. So I paid for the Robitussin Sudafed that Doug was. What were you doing? Was he just was he grinding it up?
No, he was sick. He was just a sick baby boy. And he was like, I need Sudafed. And I'm like, well, I guess we'll take the candy money and buy you some.
God, so just to clarify, you guys are no longer... You guys are no longer dating because you went to Dirty Grandpa on a dare while one of you was sick.
We're basically married.
And you've decided, like, I don't think this is going to work out.
Yeah, I'm doing this wedding cake. It's happening. This is a couple in a bad relationship, is what this is. You are an unhappy married couple.
Well, I guess we need some best show couple counseling then. So.
Are you still dating? Or you're not?
No, we're not dating at all. We're just friends. We ended up we stopped talking for like a month or two, and then we like came around to being friends, and we listened to the best show together.
That's how it starts. You'll be dating again.
Exactly.
No!
That's how it starts. That's how it starts.
Now they're inseparable. All right,
they're calling into radio shows together.
Exactly.
Oh, he's right here. Story to tell you.
Go ahead. What is it?
So I'm a nanny, and today I was in Highland Park nannying at the playground, a children's playground, you know, with children. And these two, like, 20-something-year-old men come in, and they come and sit on, like, the playground equipment where there's, like, 15 to 20 children playing. And, like, a mom kind of gave me an eye being like, who are these dudes in the park without children? So I walked up to them and was like, oh, hey, do you guys have kids? And they were like, no, we're playing Pokemon Go. I was like, well, you're kind of sitting on the kids' playground equipment. Maybe you should, like, go to the other side of the park where there's no children. And he was like, this is a public park, lady. And I was like, no, this is a children's park. You're being weird and creepy by hanging out in this park and playing Pokemon Go.
Now,
this other mom came up to me and was like, yeah, you guys don't really have any common sense. It is a little weird that you're two, like, men alone in a park without children playing Pokemon Go. So then they got mad at me, and then they left.
And then you said, now, if you'll excuse me, I have this Mounds bar that's laced with marijuana.
Hey, that, I was working. Come on.
I know. It's a funny radio show. Jeepers Creepers.
I'm joking too.
Just for nobody believes you guys are friends. Nobody believes it.
So happy for you guys.
Right?
You're the worst.
All right, Roxy and Doug. We'll talk to you later.
Thanks.
Best show.
Hey, Tom. How's it going?
It's going great. To whom am I speaking?
You are speaking to Josh from Elizabeth.
Hi.
I am on vacation in Wildwood, New Jersey with my lovely girlfriend, Erin. From Philadelphia.
Wildwood. I love it when Philly people go to the Jersey Shore and just...
Oh, she's out of hand right now.
Yeah, they can't handle nice stuff. And then they kind of ruin it.
Are you familiar with Geeta from the heater? The boss of the hot sauce?
Yeah, I know who that is.
We went to a dance party tonight with him, and he...
He's a DJ. For people who don't know, this is a Philly DJ, right?
Absolutely.
He's been around for a long time. Okay. Go ahead. So you go to see the Geeta with the heater.
Hi, Tom. This is Erin from Philadelphia.
Hi, Erin. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm great. So you go...
We went to this dance party in Wildwood. And we paid a $10 cover.
Yeah.
And, so we saw the Geeta with the heater. We came in, and he called me and Josh Hansel and Gretel.
Okay. Was that an accurate comparison?
Not at all. No.
Because we're not brother and sister, and we're not walking through a forest.
So you weren't left in the woods by your stepmother... Because there's no food? Because there's no food at the house and your father was convinced by your evil stepmother to just leave you in the woods to die of starvation?
Did you have gingerbread all over your face?
And then you ended up finding a witch's castle, which was a giant trap.
I didn't.
To cook kids.
Covered in gingerbread.
But then I went up to him. He said that I looked like Mae West. And I was like, okay, cool. And then, so I said that me and Josh were radio people, and he was like, nice, and that's it. But we danced, and we were called Hansel and Gretel throughout the night. So
that's fun.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask you this. What's your name again?
Erin from Philadelphia. Erin May from Philadelphia.
Erin, I'm going to ask you this.
Yeah?
Wait, do I know you?
Yes, you do.
I know who this is. Just don't ruin the Jersey Shore. I know how you Philly people are. It's not you
no.
don't throw batteries into
no,
the ocean
no, no.
and
hey.
And knock stuff Tom. Over. Don't go Philly style on the Jersey Shore.
Tom, I'm very soft on the South Jersey Shore. Why wouldn't it? This is like Philadelphia Beach.
But it's not. It's in New Jersey.
But still, it's Philadelphia Beach. Most Northeast Philly people and South Philly people come here.
Across the bridge to New Jersey.
Across the bridge to New Jersey, yeah. But still, it's like our beach.
It's not. It's our beach that you go to.
Hey, we still have that now.
It's not yours. I don't care how many times you say it's Philadelphia's beach. It's not.
It's everyone's who's in the area. And I've been in the Philadelphia area for 27 years, so I think I'm allowed.
Yes, you're allowed. To cross the bridge and go to someone else's beach, New Jersey's beach. It's not yours. Why don't you go to a Philly beach?
Tom.
What would a Philly beach be? The opening credits of It's Always Sunny? You sit by those weird houses with Christmas lights on them all year round?
Oh, that's so true.
Tom, this is Josh from Elizabeth.
What's that, Mike? Josh, Mike's saying I gotta take these other calls.
Wait.
Wait. Okay, wait. This better be good. You tell me to wait.
Please accept him. He's great.
Okay, so Erin and I went to Matt's probably about 4 or 5 months ago.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you were speaking probably about 4 or 5 months ago about food at Matt's Tavern.
Mm. Yeah.
And when her and I went, one of the...
Sorry, I got disconnected. Best show.
How's it going, Tom?
I know who this is. Gabe, do you know who this is?
Is this Fred from Honolulu?
How's it going, Gabe?
Hi, Fred.
Hi.
What's up, Fred?
Oh. Hi, Tom.
Yeah, hi, Tom. Hi, comma, Tom. Open parentheses, I'm, close parentheses, hi, Tom. What is it tonight? What happened? Is it the Joker released some laughing gas over the area?
I'm really, really tired, man. I'm like hour 16 of a work day right now.
Uh-huh.
I'm still working. Well, I'm taking a break. Mm-hmm. I'll call you.
All right. Well, what's up, Fred?
I'm in the heart of real America right now.
Where's that?
I'm at the Republican National Convention.
Yeah, of course. No one's actually at this thing who's not doing some...
Are you speaking?
That'd be great.
Yeah, I was. They did a delegate roll call. I had to represent Hawaii.
Yeah.
I've heard you have a lot to say about Benghazi.
Oh, Fred, listen to you. You're hallucinating at this point.
I'm not hallucinating. I'm standing in this thing that was like, looks like a hangar that they turn into a mall. It's really cool.
A hangar that they turn...
I'll send you a photo. It's really cool.
Oh, that'd be great for the radio. By all means, send me a photo. By all means, send me get that photo over to me right away.
Twitter.
It'll help with the listeners.
Yeah, they connect through social media.
Oh,
they see it there.
Fred, what am I doing? I'm not doing things through social media. I'm doing a show.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Can I add to the topic?
This is how you know you're in bad news. Roxy said you sound high. She said it's the best show, Kind Bud Club. Right? Fred, what do you got, a one-hitter, Fred? One-hitter?
I would stay sober on a job, man.
Yeah, okay. What do you got for the topic? I got it.
I regret nothing more than listening to hardcore all through my teens. I hate hardcore now.
You hate it?
I think hardcore sucks, yeah.
You don't like it, huh?
I don't like it anymore, nope.
Who was your favorite? Who was your favorite band at the peak of you being a hardcore maniac? Nasty Bits?
No, probably like the Zero Boys.
It's a band from Vinyl. Nasty Bits.
They're like or Black Flag, one or the other.
What was your favorite Black Flag song? Let me see if I can guess. I can probably guess, knowing you. Probably My War.
No, spray paint the walls now. Just okay.
You know, let me. I just picture Fred going, spray paint the walls. Damien from Effed Up is not going to be happy to hear this.
This is unpopular opinion.
This is your unpopular opinion is that you don't like hardcore? Yeah.
Or that yeah. I think his unpopular opinion is hardcore sucks.
Oh, hardcore sucks. I mean, that's an unpopular opinion in the hardcore community.
Yeah. Yeah. People who already don't like hardcore are going to be like, yeah, okay. Well, you're finally with us, Fred. We knew it sucked while you were trying to tell us it was the best. And now we finally kind of liked one or two songs that you wouldn't stop playing over and over until we understood it. And now you're telling us that it sucks.
I know.
Think of all those people back in Honolulu. All the people who worked for you back there.
Well, who worked for me? Okay.
Yeah. Little fancy Fred. Fancy Fred. He was like what's his face on Magnum PI.
You should walk around the convention telling people hardcore sucks and just see how unpopular that opinion is.
How many of those former hardcore guys are now Republicans? Like how many of them?
Well, Paul Ryan still loves hardcore, right?
He likes it. Oh, Mike Huckabee.
Loves it. Loves Rage Against the Machine.
Mike Huckabee can lay it down, right?
Yeah.
On bass, right?
Yeah.
Mike Hogg would be straight edge.
Mike Hogg would be, he'd be like, well, look, the Minutemen are not exactly hardcore. I mean, it's more, they incorporate elements of jazz and other.
Mm-hmm.
He'd be like, Mike Watt's bass lines are. So, Fred, how long are you in Cleveland?
Through Friday. Yeah.
And you're working Friday. You're working with someone who's filming there?
Yes. We talked about it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I know who it is.
Yeah. That's why it's a long day.
Yeah. The attack of the comedian.
It's fun, though. I've got no complaints.
Cleveland.
Truly.
There's 11 politicians there and 4,000 comedians.
There's more police here than there are protesters.
The same
there's
11.
There's Indiana State Police, for God's sake.
All right, Fred. Look, buddy, you know I love you, Fred.
I love you too, Tom.
You know I want nothing but the best for you. Be safe. Be safe, Fred.
Okay. Bye.
All right?
Yeah, for sure.
And stop stirring it up.
That's why I came to the RNC.
Yeah. No, that's who you won't stir it up with. No, you'll pit me against Chris Gethard, but you don't stir it up. Well, you're there at the RNC. Now you're on your best behavior. Right?
I chatted up a dude who had 2 45s in shoulder holsters underneath his armpits.
Mm-hmm.
He had like an Irish Lives Matter shirt. It was really.
What'd you guys talk about?
Football.
Yeah, hardcore.
Hardcore, yeah.
And what did you say with football? What did you say? Football sucks?
We're talking about this wide receiver named Devon Bess.
Well, what happened was Fred found out who this guy liked and then went on an endless tirade about how that sucks without having an actual opinion about it. Fred just said, hey, so who do you root for? And then the guy said who he rooted for, and then Fred...
Yeah, that's how I'm going to talk to a guy with 245s.
Oh, you'll do it. I don't care. You don't
care.
Yeah,
I will do it.
What do you care?
I could do it.
What do you care? You got nothing to lose. This is a guy, people don't know this about this guy. This guy had more money than God back in Hawaii.
Wow.
And then he came here, he gave it all up, he left it all.
Uh-huh.
The second he goes back to Honolulu, and he will, then he just becomes, then he's just back to Fancy Fred again. Then it's just Fancy Fred the rich kid. The second he goes back, as long as he's here in the mainland, is that what you guys call it? The mainland?
The mainland, yes.
As long as he's here, because he's the heir to the sex wax fortune.
Doctor's Log Sex Wax.
Yes.
Yeah. I know. It's Fred Zog Carlos.
His uncle took Fred on a tour of the sex wax factory and said, all of this is yours, Fred. And then Fred said, I think I'm going to go hang out in Little Italy for a while. And then he left his fortune, and it's like, don't worry, Fred, the fortune's here waiting for you to come back. So the second there's no one left for him to make fun of here and to pit against each other, the second Joe Firestone is done with you or you're done with her because now you're making fun of who? Who are we going to go to next? Tina Fey? Is that the ultimate goal? Get on season 3 of Kimmy Schmidt and wind her up? Is that the goal?
I don't think she hires brown people, bro. I'm not sure.
Then the minute that's done, then he'll just go back and then it's just like, Fancy Fred's back. Which car will you take today, Fancy Fred? And Fred'll say, bring the Aston Martin around.
The Batmobile.
The Batmobile. Yeah. As he's driving around Honolulu in his Batmobile. And it's not the Adam West Batmobile. He's got the Christian Bale.
Yeah.
He's got that thing, that tumbler. The tumbler.
The thing that jumps buildings. Exactly. Yeah.
Who's your favorite member of the Suicide Squad, Fred?
The one that looks like a crocodile?
Killer Croc, yes. Killer Croc. You like Killer Croc? Yeah, huh?
Or the black guy who shoots real straight.
Yeah, Deadshot. You mean Will Smith?
Yeah, that's the one.
Will Smith as Deadshot?
Yeah, that's the guy.
Mm-hmm. Not a fan of Boomerang, huh?
I don't know who that is.
Throws boomerangs.
Oh, pretty
boy,
good.
They must, the other Suicide Squad members must have loved. One guy's like, yeah, I shoot fire out of my hands. Another guy's like, well, I'm a crocodile. And I just eat people and do stuff. And then Will Smith is like, Deadshot's like, yeah, I can hit all these shots, fire guns left and right, up, down, or which way. And what do you do again? I throw boomerangs at people.
They probably call him Hawkeye, right? He's their Hawkeye.
I guess he must have. Well, I think their Hawkeye is Green Arrow.
Oh, okay.
Is DC's Hawkeye.
Right.
I think they think of Hawkeye as our Green Arrow. They called him Hawkeye. And nobody in Marvel ever bothered to come up with a boomerang dude. Although now I know, that wasn't the guy who was in like, the Defenders in 47.
Who's the boomerang of podcasting?
The boomerang? You're talking to him. The only problem is you're the boomerang and it keeps coming back.
Wow.
I keep throwing it.
Yeah, it's like that big black song.
You're my boomerang. Yeah, you're like a bad penny. I can't get rid of you. All right, Fred. You be safe, buddy. I'll talk to you soon. You know, you can say something nice to Gabe?
What's up? Yeah, I said good night, Tom. Good night, Gabe.
Bye, Fred. Love you.
I like Fred. He's a sweet guy. You gonna see this Ice Age movie? Ice Age?
I'm gonna. Mm-hmm. I'm definitely gonna.
They've done so many of these movies. This one takes place. It's like the Civil War now. It's actually we just gotta move it along here at some point. There's actual. What are we supposed to keep this stuff in dinosaur times? Is it dinosaur? No, because they get chased by dinosaurs every once in a while.
Yeah, I think it's...
Man, I need some of that money. Can you imagine doing... Hey, we're doing another Ice Age movie.
I would love to have Ice Age money.
Can you imagine John Leguizamo gets the call, do another Ice Age movie? It's just like, okay, that'll be 3 days of me recording this thing, and I will be rich again.
There was like a... the New York Times had like in the real estate section, like an interview with John Leguizamo where it's like, you just shouldn't talk to the New York Times about certain things. Like you should enjoy your life and do it. And then just don't answer any of their questions. Mm-hmm. Cause it was this thing about him just being like, yeah, we own a townhouse in the West Village and I spend $100 million renovating it. My wife doesn't like it. We'll probably sell it. So, like such a throwaway,
yeah.
Like a property that no one could ever have.
And people are like, boo, like you're just a villain.
Yeah. You become a villain and it's like, you should just enjoy your townhouse. And then when you have to sell it and never talk about it.
Do you know who's a hero? You, Gabe.
Thank you, Tom.
Delahaye. At Gabe Delahaye, by the way. What's coming up for you? What's coming up, Gabe?
I'm going to be writing a TV script for TBS, and we will see what happens with that.
Tom Hinkle.
My good buddy, Tom Hinkle.
Yes, I like Tom Hinkle.
He's the best. And then we're going to see what else happens.
Now, you have one of these doge? How do you say it?
I think it's... I know what you're talking about. I don't actually know what... I assume it's doge.
D-O-G-E.
Yeah. I have a Shiba Inu.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very fancy dog that I didn't necessarily put enough thought into before getting... Because when you have a fancy dog, everyone wants to talk to you about your fancy dog.
And I hate it. And you're kind of just like, it's a dog.
Just leave me alone.
It's my dog.
Yeah. Yeah. And look, it's my fault. It's not their fault. It's my fault. They are, you know, they're the ones that all do it. So it must be normal. And I think most people who have dogs love talking to people about their dogs.
Mm-hmm.
So I have the unpopular opinion that I shouldn't have to talk to you.
But that dog is like, people see you with that dog and they're just like, well, that's like a famous looking dog. Because we all see that dog going much snacks.
We've all seen the meme.
Does your dog say much food when you put food down?
Mm-hmm. Yep, she does. I think I get... It looks like a fox without like seven times a day, every single day for the past 6 years.
But that's just,
And it's people are having fun.
But it's the color of a fox. Your dog's the color of the, like an actual fox is like mangy and like skinny and like.
People have asked, many people have asked, like, is that a fox? Mm-hmm. Which is always the funniest question, because that's not a thing. You can't have that.
No. We're about 1,000 years from domesticated foxes.
It's not a fox. And I also, the other thing that I get every multiple times a day, again, it's completely within, it's fair of them to ask, but everyone asks, what kind of dog is that? Mm-hmm. And as I tell them, you can see the information leave their face. Like, like it's an interaction that is worthless for everyone because they don't care. They don't actually really care other than they're just curious for half of a second. And I should just like print cards. Print laminated cards and hand them out.
Shiba Inu.
Yeah.
They want you to just say it's a
it's yours. They want me to say it's your here. It's yours.
They want you to just say it's a dog. Doge. Right?
Yeah. I admit that I sound very unpleasant when talking about my dog. She's beautiful. She's so fun. She's a cool dog.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like talking to strangers in public bathrooms. I don't like talking to strangers on the subway. Mm-hmm. It's not my thing. And I have bought a magnet for strangers to come talk to me. And it's my fault. It's 100% my fault.
You have a conversation starter.
I have to walk a conversation starter 3 times a day.
This dog that everybody's just like. And do you see people's faces light up when they see
constantly.
The dog?
Constantly. The thing about my dog.
You're bringing joy to people.
Look, it's great. The thing about my dog is that she knows that she's an attractive dog. She knows that she's an attractive dog now.
Okay.
And it's annoying. Like most dogs, they're very nice to their owners because their owner gives them food and affection. And my dog could not care less because my dog knows that if it ran away, it would be loved within 3 feet of our house.
Exactly. He'd be just like, new owner.
Yeah.
Upgrade.
Great.
Had enough. Knew all their moves.
Yeah.
New adventure.
Moving on.
But when you... Would you ever put an outfit on that dog of yours?
I've tried. She doesn't even like her collar or her harness. I think an outfit she would.
What about a bow tie?
I would love to put a bow tie on her.
What, like with a little elastic bow tie?
Yeah.
You don't think you could?
I could do it. I mean, look, I could do it. Yeah. It's not. I'm in charge. I ultimately am in charge.
Scream at the dog until the dog.
Yeah.
You also deny the dog food and
I could do terrible things to make that bow tie happen.
Wizard hat? What about like a little wizard hat?
I've tried sunglasses. I've tried hats. But she finds out. She's so smart.
Mm-hmm.
She's so smart. She finds out there's a hat on her head every time.
Well, that's not maybe the...
Oh, she's a genius.
That might not be the line of how smart your dog is.
She's so smart.
The dog just... shaking. The hat off. I think you get a little purple wizard hat.
Okay.
And a bow tie.
Okay. Put it on her.
Take that dog into Times Square.
$25 a picture.
You are just in your underwear.
Yes. Painted.
Painted.
Yeah.
Of course, painted.
Yeah. Dress as Lieutenant Dangle.
Dress as Lieutenant Dangle. And you pretend... What about this? You take the dog. Forget this wizard bow tie stuff.
Okay.
Take the dog. You just pretend the dog's a guitar. And you just go and you start
this
doing.
Is great.
You would run the naked cowboy out.
Hold on. I'm writing this down.
In all seriousness, if you went and you were playing in your underwear across from with a cow. You have a cowboy hat on.
Okay.
And
okay.
You're just dressed like the naked cowboy in underwear. But instead of a guitar. You're just playing your dog as a guitar, like strumming a dog and singing songs. The naked cowboy would be out of business in 36 hours.
Has anyone ever, like a late night show or anyone ever, like, put another naked cowboy at Times Square?
That would be.
Because the reaction of the naked cowboy, if someone else showed up trying to be naked cowboy, would be the most entertaining.
That would be. You could do a thing just saying, like, in episode 10, we finally bring the person into Times Square. Like, yeah. People would be like, if you didn't tell them what episode it was, they'd be hanged. Like, when's this guy going to go to Times Square? I guess it's episode 10. I can't wait. It would just be like, everyone's watching to see.
Like, that guy, like, losing his mind would be so funny.
I think the Naked Cowboy, the second he looks and sees, here you come.
Mm-hmm.
Here comes this guy.
Yeah.
First of all, better looking guy than the Naked Cowboy.
Thank you.
Here he
Nude
comes.
Rancher. Here comes Nude Rancher.
Here comes Nude Rancher. Nearly Nude Rancher.
Nearly Nude Rancher.
Here comes Underwear Rancher. Yeah. And with his guitar. Guitar. And then you're just like... Then you're just playing a song. You're just like, hey, good looking. What you got cooking? And you're just strumming your dog.
Strumming the dog. She's loving it.
She's loving it because she's getting scratched.
She's like, she could do that for hours.
Every strum is a scratch.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it. This we got.
This is a great idea. I feel like we're both going to get rich after tonight.
Well, you have your thing. I have my Pokemon Pokemon people. I want to be with the Pokemon people. This is going to get ready. My friends, I want to tell you, I told you about Dudio's show, Bridge and Tunnel. His sketch group is playing, doing a show on Thursday the 28th at UCB Theater in Chelsea. The show's Bridge and Tunnel is the group, and it's Bridge and Tunnel present Hot Takes. It's at 6 p.m. on Thursday, July 28th. Saturday, July 30th. Prove It All Night, which is Pat Burns' show. His 2-year anniversary show. He does this great show on WFMU every Saturday night. And they do live shows once a month. They have the karaoke all night 2-year anniversary show at the WFMU Performance Space in Jersey City. Some of the guests he will have at this show, Dave Hill, Joe Firestone, Brett Davis, and surprises. That's Saturday, July 30th, 9 p.m. And you go to prove, what is it? What's what, Pat? At Prove It Show. And this is like a, this lineup is like a Fred from Honolulu manipulating a fantasy team. Dave Hill, Joe Firestone, Brett Davis. Boy, you can pit them against each other. My friends, the best show is over. Gabe Delahaye, thank you for coming. That was so much fun having
you. Thanks for having me. This was the best.
You come anytime you want. You're a total joy. And Mike's got his dumb shirts at apmike.bandcamp.com. God forbid I don't mention them for the 45th time on the show. Bryan Cranston sucks. Just remember that.
Still a huge fan. Would love to get something going with him.
Best thing he ever did was say to Jerry, you're anti-dentite. That's the best acting he ever did was on Seinfeld. And this is the beauty of it. The next, you guys are all saying, no, Tom's crazy. He's just stirring it up. You're going to be watching something and he's going to be in it and it's going to hit you and you're going to say, oh no, he sucks. And when I say he sucks, he's like Shatner. Shatner sucks. He's fun. He's fun, but he's terrible. That's all. Sorry, Cranston. Why am I apologizing to this guy? This guy's loaded. He's got Fred from Honolulu money. I don't got that. I got a whole lot of nothing. That's my song. Whole lot of nothing going on. Come on over, baby. Whole lot of nothing going on. Speaking of which, here's a song by Ravi Shavi. The new album is called Independent. It's on Almost Ready Records. Check it out. Besho will be back next week. Thanks for listening. This is Ravi Shavi.
Daddy said you gotta go.